Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
If your hair isn't performing like it used to, the answer isn't another hat. It's a proactive approach. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand. It's also NSF certified for sport and the official hair growth partner of Major League Baseball, the only hair growth supplement trusted by the pros. Visit Nutrafol.com, enter promo code PMT. Get $10 off your first month subscription, and you get free shipping. That's NUTRAFOL.com, promo code PMT.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want a cup of joe with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm the Joker, baby.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode, I think it's 30 of season 2. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Chris Castellani, and Eddie joining us this week. Eddie is a huge, huge Jared Leto.
You know what? I don't like that tag. I don't like that stigma. That's fake news. Fake news.
we are talking Morbius. That's the obvious one. There's a lot to discuss with Morbius, and it's a lot to do with like not the movie either. Tyrese Gibson sending out fake Instagrams about the movie. Crazy. Just
how many times can he be wrong about this movie? It's honestly shocking.
We're going to talk about the connection to the MCU. There's so many bizarre things to discuss with this movie. The Rotten Tomatoes score, which I actually am going to defend the movie when we talk about that. So we're going to review Morbius. Then we're going to do a concession stand draft, a movie theater concession stand draft, which I got to ask off the top. If somebody selects soda, does that just take all soda off the board, or do you have to specifically pick a flavor? That is brutal. That's tough.
You see, I was thinking general fountain drink as one all-encompassing.
Yeah, that's fair.
We could make it where all of us have to select a different soda. Like, we all have to select a soda.
Or a beverage.
Yeah, a beverage of some
kind. I like the idea of somebody ending up with water, but I think there's enough where you wouldn't have to pick water. We'll say general fountain soda is a blanket thing. Let's make it tough. Let's make it hard, I guess.
All right.
Well, so you never know what Eddie's going to throw in there. Eddie and Chris, they got the maybe regionally different in the Midwest. I mean, Eddie, if you listen to the show enough, you know Eddie's talked about AMC. They screwed up the pretzel nuggets in Chicago. They just cut up a big Bavarian legend, which is just that's just so cheap. Also, the Bavarian legend pretzel AMC is very different.
Change my microphone real quick. I think that's better now.
Yeah.
The Bavarian legend at AMC is a different consistency and weight compared to the pretzel nugget. Pretzel nuggets are very thin and airy. The Bavarian legend is dense.
Very dense. I'm still, I think, the first or second picture when you Google the Bavarian legend?
Maybe the first. Honestly, it might be our other coworker, Nick, might be up there now too. When we saw Dune, he took it. If you get the Bavarian legend, I mean, you're paying $20 for a 2-pound pretzel. You got to take a photo with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're the second. You're technically the second photo because the first two are the same person. It's actually most people who post the photo are people related to this podcast. It's like fans or someone on an LCB shirt. It's a behemoth pretzel.
Simply massive. Almost inedible for whatever that's worth.
They call it 2 pounds of shareable fun, but is sharing food like the worst thing in a movie? Like, I get sharing popcorn, but even then, like, sharing food is like not a logical thing in a movie.
No.
You could share. Can you get passed down the bag of whatever, you know, the bag of Raisinets or whatever.
That's true. But a large pretzel, though, you know, it's like, it's so big. It's the biggest pretzel ever. So we'll do a concession stand draft and also an interview with Adam Scott, the actor, not the golfer. That'd be wild if we interviewed the golfer, Masters champion. We talked to Adam Scott about a bunch of things. Anakin Skywalker. By that, I mean Luke, and by that, I mean Mark Hamill. We talked about Step Brothers, a bunch of other stuff. But first, this episode of Flights, Cam, and Barstool brought to you by 3Chi. That's right. Eddie, you're a 3Chi guy, right?
Oh, yeah, 3Chi. It's good stuff.
The Chicago office, big 3Chi guys.
Everyone's always asking our salespeople to send more and more and more. So
skip the dispensary, get THC delivered right to your door. Take 5% off Delta 8, HHC, THCV, and more from 3Chi. 3Chi is Delta 8. It's a federally legal version of THC. It's a more functional alternative to marijuana. Great buzz, great body feel, clear head, less anxiety and paranoia, though. And they got so many options for things. Delicious cookie and brownie. The brownie is, I think, I can't say if I like the cookie or the brownie more. I think I'm a brownie guy. I think that's the best one. Very gooey. Also, they have the root beer barrels, right? You had those?
I don't think so. I have not. Have you, Kenjack?
I had the candy balls, whatever they were actually called, but I didn't have the root beer yet. But my favorite is still the, I don't know what the technical word they're using for, but the rice cake, basically the Rice Krispie Treat thing, which is very, very good. They have the one that's made of Fruity Pebbles. You ever try that one?
Yeah, that one's good.
Yeah, it's almost like a cereal bar. Those, bring those back. They might still be back. I don't know. But I used to love those as a kid. Negative nutritional net value.
Oh, cereal bars?
Bar. It's condensed milk between two patties of cereal.
We sometimes in our office have cereal bars. We have like the, well, I'll say it after the hour. Must be 21 to purchase. 3Chi has a wide variety. Vapes, drink enhancers. You can pour it into your drink. They have unflavored too. So if you're just like, I got to get my 3Chi, but I still want to suck down my, I don't know, like cherry Coke. You can just do that. You just pour the 3Chi in there. Tinctures and more. Not suggest, and I, and people are like, why would you not put in alcohol? They do not suggest putting in an alcohol, so don't do that. 3Chi, code STOOL5. Take 5% off and get a free Canna Fan Flag sticker. You get a free sticker. Three, 3Chi.com. Use promo code STOOL5 to take 5% off. You get the free flag sticker. We have in the office, we have Captain Crunch Crunchberry bars. And they say they're like 90 calories. I've never believed anything less.
Not a fucking chance.
They're like five servings
in there.
Yeah. Captain Crunch Crunchberry crisps. This is a healthy start to the morning. It's only 90 calories. Yeah, my ass. Yeah, right. The best thing that we did, I've said it before in our office, there was an era where we had two different brands of like those Texas cinnamon buns, like those like 5-pound cinnamon buns.
There was 50 of them in the office at any given time. I don't know anyone that was eating them. Not a single person.
We had one. If you're a Barstool fan, and if you're not, you should look this man up. Tyler O'Day used to work for us. He works for the Empire State Building now. He's a vocalist, great singer, great social media mind. He used to walk into the kitchen every morning and heat up a Texas cinnamon bun in the microwave.
And he's a guy, if you don't know him, he runs like 15 miles like every night, like apparently on Twitter. Like, to ruin that by having a Texas hot bun or whatever in the morning. Why?
I've never ever like understood cinnamon buns or cinnamon rolls being a breakfast food. I've just never understood.
To me, it's more of a dessert.
Agreed.
Like, right. Yeah. It's a breakfast dessert on a super rare occasion. Like, I only have them on Christmas. Christmas Day is the only time I ever eat a cinnamon roll. Yeah. We'll have them like the cup, like our egg dish we make every Christmas morning. But other, like, there's nothing I can think of that will, like, you know, the craziest one is you wake up early in the morning, you're kind of groggy, you're getting on a plane, and then you just down a Cinnabon in the airport. Oh, and you just sit on the plane with that feeling.
Well, like, I love Cinnabon, but like, to me, that was just like a little treat you got at the mall, you know?
Like, yeah, you're not going to the mall like, you're not going to the mall at like 9 a.m. So like, yes, that's kind of, exactly. I don't really like any sweets for breakfast, or like Danish donut. Like, I'm never really, I like a savory breakfast and then I like a sweet dessert.
You know, I'm really in the mood for a scone. I haven't had a scone in years, but I can't find it anywhere.
I hate when people pronounce it scone. Even if it's right, I don't like it. It's scone. Who the fuck you think you are?
We got some movie stuff to talk about. We mentioned this last week, so we'll get this out of the way. Best wishes to Bruce Willis, retired from acting.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce it? Diagnosed with
Aphasia.
Aphasia. It was so. Here's the backstory on this, and you wonder how much of it escalated because there was an article that came out called "It was like the King of the Geezer Teaser," and that's like a type of movie. It's like really low budget, direct to video, schlocky action. It's not just Bruce Willis in them. Nick Cage has been in Geezer Teasers as well as like Travolta. It's typically produced by the same guy, Randall Emmett, which if you have ever watched the show Vanderpump Rules, he was married to one of the characters in that show, Lala Kent. If you've ever watched Vanderpump or Bravo, you've seen Randall Emmett, but he's produced many movies. He was actually a producer on The Irishman, but he's also a producer on Gotti.
Also makes sense. Two great gangster movies right there.
Yeah, but he's produced almost all of the Bruce Willis movies. So Red Letter Media, great YouTube channel. I've referenced it. We've all referenced it many times. They did a whole Bruce Willis fake movie factory like video, and they talked about it, and they talked about how he had an earpiece in to get lines fed to him. And a lot of them were not actually him in scenes, and he ADR'd and dubbed over a lot of lines. And then the next video they put out, they mentioned like, hey, people are starting to theorize then maybe he has dementia and he's doing this to make money to give to his family. And they said, look, we don't know if this is true or not. This is just what people said there. And that time there was no evidence of it. And I don't know if this escalated or not, but they did announce last week, his daughter, Rumor Willis, put on Instagram that he is retiring. So the best of Bruce Willis, an absolute legend for many ways and many reasons in many movies. What's everyone's favorite Bruce Willis movie? Top Bruce Willis movie?
Favorite is hard, but I feel like it's impossible not to say Die Hard. But like outside of Die Hard, I love 12 Monkeys. Such a great movie.
Pulp Fiction is my go-to, I would say. I think he's really underrated in that movie. Everyone always goes to Travolta and Jackson, but he has a really large segment where he carries that. I guess an underrated one, I would say, though. It was well-received, but I would say it was his last great performance. Looper. I thought he was excellent in Looper. He was so badass in that movie. But yeah, I mean, there was a period there where like he was, if not the biggest movie star in the world, like what in the top five, I mean, just charismatic and everything. So yeah,
Everyman. He's not like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's built his shit. He's like a balding, like regular shaped looking guy, which made him very relatable, I think.
So, yeah.
I'm going to go underrated with the kid, role in Moonrise Kingdom. Eddie, what's your pick?
I'm going to go with the kid.
Oh,
no, yeah, nice. Wow. I thought you were going to go with the Jackal or something.
No. You know what I like about the movie The Kid is that it's often referred to by its full name, Disney's The Kid.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, no. Sixth Sense. I got to go. I love The Sixth Sense.
Mm. Yeah, he's great. He's great in that, too. Yeah.
In The Jackal, I think he blows up Jack Black's arm or something, right? With like a motorized sniper rifle. He's like wants to test out and he just shoots Jack Black's arm off. It was a ridiculous scene, but I like The Jackal. It's a guilty pleasure to mine.
Even some of like the middle of the road, mediocre to crappy movies, depending on how you look at it, from like Red to The Whole Nine Yards. Him and Matthew Perry is one of the most bizarre 1-2 punches in any movie ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Whole 10 Yards, the sequel, don't forget. So yeah, best wishes to Bruce Willis, a man we don't know, but sending our absolute best. Speaking of this man's still a top all-time movie star and one of the biggest in the world, Tom Cruise. New trailer for Top Gun Maverick. This is finally coming out.
Yeah.
This movie was one of those COVID delay movies where like they kicked the can very far down the road, mm-hmm. like a couple times, and you're like, all right, maybe we can just release this movie already. Top Gun Maverick comes out May 27th, brand new trailer. Where do you stand on this movie? Like, is this... I almost want to start calling this thing like the Avatar effect, right? Where there's a certain period of time where movies delayed, where you start to dislike it before you see it, just out of like, I'm sick of waiting for this. But then the Avatar effect is two pronged. I now like Avatar. I want to see Avatar because we've waited so long. It's actually like trumped its own cycle. And now it's in like the zone where I'm excited to see this. I'm still looking forward to Top Gun Maverick, but I don't know like where it falls for people. The trailer's cool, a lot of nostalgia. This was originally supposed to come out, when was it? Originally July 2019.
Jesus.
Then it got delayed to 2020. Then it got delayed due to COVID. It's insane how much this movie's gotten moved. It's going to be almost 3 years since it was originally supposed to release. So I don't know where you stand on this, Ken Jack.
as someone who is, I think I've been pretty vocal about how like I like Top Gun, but I'm also cognizant that it wasn't particularly like a great movie or anything like that. I'm also, I think, more excited for this one because like they kind of leaned away from the more schlocky aspect of Top Gun and leaned more into like, hey, let's do like really cool fighter jet scenes. We have the technology to do crazy stuff now. And in a lot of those scenes, like you see, like it's Cruise on like a, in like a practical cockpit. It's not him sitting in a fucking green screen or whatever. And like, we're going to see some cool combat. It's probably because every movie needs to include this somehow. It's probably going to be him and his fighter pilots, his expert fighter pilots versus drones, I'm imagining. But even then, I'm still excited to see it. I like Miles Teller, especially in this role and like that sort of relationship and how that's going to work out since he's Goose's son and all that. All the cast in this is great. Ed Harris, awesome. John Hamm, awesome. Obviously getting Val Kilmer back in whatever capacity is great. A couple other great people in there as well. I'm pumped for it. I do agree with the delay effect, which definitely hurt other movies, including the one we're going to review today. But it's something where like I've grown, I think, to a point beyond it where like I don't think where with Top Gun I was ever like oh, they're delaying this and it's going to be shit. Like Morbius, we always knew it was going to be terrible. Like that, it's never, would we ever think otherwise? But with this movie, I'm just like, this is going to be a fun summer blockbuster movie. And I don't have an expectation for it to be something that's going to like blow my mind or anything like that. But I think it's going to be fun action. And I don't think I've seen like a fighter pilot related movie in so long. And I'm actually kind of excited to see that.
I think, you know, a lot of delays to a movie, especially in the COVID age, either mean that the movie is really good and the studio is proud of it, or it's really, really terrible and they just want to bury it. I kind of think this is the former. I think this is going to actually be really good. And I was actually laughing watching the trailer because like, man, Miles Teller needs this. Like, and I like that guy a lot. He's in Whiplash. So like, he's got a free pass forever, but like, he's been in some pretty bad movies over the last several years. Like even because after Whiplash, I thought he was going to like take off and be this massive star. And I think he still could be. He needs this to be a big hit, but it looks really impressive just visually, the scope of it. The whatever they're called, the dogfight sequences or whatever, the aerial stuff looks pretty astonishing. So yeah, I'm more curious about it than I am excited, but I am very curious.
I've asked full disclosure. I've seen Top Gun for the first time recently, very recently.
Oh,
yes. And, like you said, I came out after it and I was like, oh, okay. Like I had not realized that it was known as like not a great movie. Like you said, Jeff, but it's just, you know, it's Top Gun. People love it, you know? So it was, I kind of had their reaction. It didn't make me more excited to see Maverick, but I thought the trailer was good. I thought it had a little bit of everything though. Like you had the, you know, how it was shot and the special effects. And like you said, the stunts are going to be cool. It had the nostalgia. It has a lot to get people excited for, which I think is important. Yeah. So I'm still excited for it.
Yeah. The Tom Cruise effect has me amped solely for that. I think it misses that mark or that area of this has been delayed so much. I don't care, which I actually had the feeling with Bond. Like I landed on that one, No Time to Die. I just stopped. I just didn't care anymore. Like
I think that's why it didn't do that great.
Yeah, I think that's the case for a lot of people too. Like yeah. it had that perfect delay window where it was like, I don't really care anymore. But yeah. I think this day they might cook up some interest on it for sure. Moving on after that, HBO, they set the House of Dragon release date. It's August 21st for House of the Dragon, prequel series to Game of Thrones. It's based on George R. R. Martin's novel, Fire and Blood. So 200 years for the events of Game of Thrones. Paddy Considine, Matt Smith, who is in Morbius, Emma Darcy, Olivia Cook. I don't care about this. I'm a fan of Game of Thrones. I watch Game of Thrones start to finish. I was never a diehard by any stretch of the imagination. This, I don't know. And I don't know if the hype, I don't know what the hype level is on this. Like, is it realistically a big hype level for this show? Like, we've got a small teaser, but other than that, we haven't gotten anything like that crazy, right?
I think it's kind of the effect. And I remember, I think Trebolins had brought this up before any of us, but like the fact that like Game of Thrones, the second it ended, it left such a bad taste in everyone's mouth that it went from being the only thing anyone ever talked about or referred to never being talked about ever. which is like just how much of a bad taste it left on everyone and left like zero cultural impact, which is crazy, considering how huge it was at its height. And that definitely, I think, kind of takes a little bit of the wind out of this. At the same time, like I am excited to see another dive into this world in a different sort of scope. And I do think that for whatever it's worth, they probably learned from their mistakes as far as like making sure you have a set flight plan past whatever the books might lead you into. The guy who's the showrunner on this is like one of the Rocks guys, I think, Ryan Condal. He did like Rampage and the shitty Hercules movie. That's not exactly something that I think that screams fire or House of the Dragon to me or Game of Thrones, but like I'm interested. I like all of these actors. Paddy Considine is like so fucking funny and everything, and then he's also very scary in like most recently that I saw him in like a serious role. Like he was in Death of Stalin and stuff, but he was in Peaky Blinders, and he was so wicked in that, like in a bad way, and like he was like just very interesting. Matt Smith, I think, is a good actor. We'll talk more about him with Morbius. A couple other people like Olivia Cooke, we talk about all the time. She's really, really good.
Love her.
All great. It's like the pieces are there, and like I think the world could be explored more. It's just like now I think they're going to have not like it's they're almost in a good shape because now like the expectations are kind of low. Like you go into Game of Thrones like the last season, you're like, you better fucking nail this. But like now, because that the finale was so disappointing to people, I think people are going to go into this expecting it to suck, and they can go nowhere but up. So I think that they're actually in a pretty decent spot because of their sequel series, so to speak, being ending on such a bad note.
Right. It's kind of like the Star Wars prequels type thing. It's like the last thing we saw was, even though Return of the Jedi is regarded as the worst of the first three, it's like the last thing we saw was iconic and legendary. Now we're coming into a new thing and it stunk, where this didn't end legendary, it ended pretty crappy. And while the wait from, like, I mean, whether people like the sequel trilogy or not, they like The Force Awakens. That was a surprise with maybe like middle of the road expectations after the prequels. This, the wait is not very long, so that's not going to like be much of a benefit because the wait is so short. But yeah, maybe the expectations are low enough. I don't know. Again, I'm not a huge enough fan to truly, truly be amped about this, but you also slap HBO on it. I mean, it's hard to also not, it's hard to like look away. You know, I think most will watch it who have at least had mild interest to great interest in that range of Game of Thrones.
It's just different though. Like they lost their trust. The audience lost their trust in, you know, the franchise. And it back in the day, it would have been like little nuggets came out all the time and people, you know, there'd be blogs all over. Remember how cheap that was? The Barstool blog, everyone would pounce on those. Any little rumor or any little nugget about Game of Thrones, it was a top blog on the site. And now it's like, I think when it comes up, when it hits August and it's like, oh, that's this Sunday, a lot of people will come back and tune in, but I think it'll get a much quicker hook if it's not good.
Mm-hmm. That's
very true. Word of mouth will be important for this.
Big time. Big time.
Not that they're not going to promote the shit out of it, because they will. This will be everywhere and very in your face. But I just don't know if it's all there right now, like the hype. At least, which is crazy, but it goes back to what you said. If you had said before the last season of Game of Thrones, like, hey, in 3 years or whatever, the prequel is going to come out and the hype isn't going to be as maximized as one would think. Like they tweeted just a poster of like a dragon egg. And I feel like before Game of Thrones season one, I probably would have done better than like 4,000. I know Twitter is not an indicator of anything, but it's like you get a small little, like, it's like a small sample size. Like, I don't know, like the numbers on this aren't crazy. I like the tweets. Like Marvel, you could just post a picture of fucking Tony Stark's hand. You get 10,000 retweets on a poster in like a day. So I just don't know if the hype is there. So yeah, we'll see. But again, HBO, it's like HBO has a very big trial. Like, I don't know if you guys, where's everyone stand with the Winning Time series on HBO, the Lakers docuseries.
I like Winning Time a lot. I actually like Minx more. And that's a new one that we interviewed Jake Johnson for. Minx has been awesome. And like, so they're right now, I think, on a pretty good streak for some of their recent programming. And hopefully that kind of carries over, because both of those shows, I think, have been kind of crushing it. I know the Jonah Hill episode, I think we all kind of agreed, wasn't particularly great.
Yeah, I did not like the Jonah Hill episode.
But I think the last one was good. I think the one before that was really good. And I'm just like enjoying a lot about how they made it, so to speak, like very artistic, very Adam McKay in a lot of different spots. I think I'm liking both of them a lot.
Yeah, I like Winning Time. I did not like the second episode. I'm kind of back on it, I think, which a new one they drop on Sunday. But the I'm still laughing at all like the scandal series that are coming out, like the WeWork one. God, is like, dude, whatever. It's won't such end. Like a, it's somebody. I saw somebody mention this too. I don't know where it was. Somebody said the thing about the WeWork series is that Adam Newman is not like, and Rebecca Newman, they're not the most interesting part. Like the crazy thing about WeWork was like the culty following. Like yeah. The fact that it was, and they kind of just brushed over it a little too quickly. Like that was the, like it was a cult over office chairs and desks. Mm-hmm. Like they're renting desk space, and like that was the cult. And it's like crazy that they just kind of not, that's not like the focus point. And then the Elizabeth Holmes one is fine, but that should be a 2-hour movie. Like that.
Yeah. They're milking that one big time.
Yeah, that one's a little, that
too
one.
Many. There's like the Tinder Swindler one. There's another one recently that I watched that was terrible. Oh, well, Inventing Anna was awful.
Inventing Anna was terrible. Awful.
So unbelievably bad. What a fucking miss. And it was funny because I actually saw what's the actress's name from Veep, like No Chomsky or something.
Anna Chomsky, yeah.
I saw some article in like the Hollywood Reporter before, like she never won an Emmy for Veep, but she's retrying and Inventing Anna. Like, look, sister, I hate to tell you, be the one to tell you this. You ain't getting it for Inventing Anna. That is a terrible show. And there was another one recently on Netflix I watched that was also bad. I forget the name of it. But yeah, on and a then weird streak of con men stuff.
Quick before we get into an ad read, they got to put Master Chief's helmet back on in the Halo series.
It's a lot. It's almost entirely helmet off,
which I like what they're doing. Like I'm enjoying the schlockiness. Like I like, but you put the helmet back on. Like there's
a part of this where like, if you're Pablo Schreiber, would you sign on for that? If like literally no one sees your face for like a majority of the series, probably not.
Pedro Pascal did.
That's very, very true. But I feel like Pedro Pascal is in a different point in his career than Pablo Schreiber, for whatever that's worth. Sure. Where like Pablo Schreiber definitely needs more FaceTime with the public and all of that. But yeah, no, I agree with you. Obviously, like we all know Master Chief has a helmet on guy, so would definitely appreciate
it. It also kind of ruined the moment in the first episode because like him taking the helmet off was such a big deal, but now it's like, well, now he just doesn't wear it. So it's like, why was that? Exactly. I don't know. I still enjoy it. I don't know.
I like Bokeem Woodbine. Good role for him. I've always loved Bokeem Woodbine, and like him being in that little small role as like an ex-partner, I thought was really cool.
And my current binging show, because I won't watch a movie when I'm like writing trivia or doing side work, because I'll end up just focusing on the movie. So I watch something I've seen before, and I'm back on House of Cards. We're at the season 2 finale, House of Cards again.
It's a collection of analogies as a script. I love
it. Is the more you watch an old show, which is because no show is meant to be watched this many times. Like it's, if anything, the show and its main reasons to be watched at least one time through. Maybe comedies are different, like on Arrested Development, you pick up on little things, but I think this watch of House of Cards has picked them up more and more on the fact that Frank Underwood just speaks and like riddles and limericks. And it just is just, it's just too much.
On the other end of that, I just restarted Breaking Bad. Unsurprisingly, still rocks. Like still a very good show that I pick up more on as I go on with, especially after watching Better Call Saul.
What a great fucking series start to finish. This episode of Life Game of Barstool is brought to you by Allbirds. Footwear company that we've talked about before. Everyone knows they listen to this pod. You know, I've worn Allbirds for a long time, but they have a fantastic. When I first started wearing Allbirds, they had like one shoe. They had the one like the wool runners. Now they have so many different things, and the Tree Dasher 2 we've gotten to try out. Awesome, awesome shoe, especially for this time of year. Allbirds, Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com. Next generation of their best-selling running shoe, made from a mix of natural materials, so it's better for you and for the planet. It's lighter, responsive foam, adds to a spring. It's like stepping on pillows, honestly. Great traction on pavement and to have good grip and support. It's a sportier angler heel shape too that softens any impact if you're running in them. But also, again, dress them up, dress them down. They look fantastic. Colors are great. I ordered actually a couple of the Tree Dashers. It's kind of my that and another shoe, which I won't name because I'm doing an addery. But this is a shoe that it's versatile. I can take it out middle of the day, but I'm going out at night too. It looks great. Discover your perfect pair at Allbirds, Allbirds.com. I have horrible feet too, I might add. And these are great for my feet. My feet are too wide.
Prove it. Show pictures of your feet online so we can.
Go to @LightsCameraPod. I'll tweet some feet pics. Awful feet, but these shoes are great. And I don't have to break them in either. Typically, shoes, I got to break them in for like 2 weeks. But these shoes, I love Allbirds. I'm wearing them for like probably like 6-7 years now. Next up, Will Smith resigned from the Academy. Eddie, what was your take? We've heard because Ken Jack and Chris were on last week. What was your take from? And be careful. Careful what you say. If there's been so many collateral takedowns of people for commenting on this story, but what's your thoughts on the Will Smith thing?
Truthfully, when it initially happened, I was like, I don't know if, you know, I don't know if that was real, but it quickly, obviously, was soon realized that it was very real. I don't know. I mean, like shit like this happens all the time. You know, people get heated. Someone says a joke you don't like, and, you know, maybe someone gets aggressive and gets, you know, puts their hands on you. It just happened on the biggest stage with people that are super fucking famous. So, I mean, yeah, Will Smith was wrong. Like, he shouldn't have done that. Chris Rock, like, was just joking around, but I don't know. It is what it is. I don't think Will Smith should be, like, crucified, though. You know, like, I don't think he should
I don't think he should have his Oscar taken away.
Yeah, no, dude, not at all. Not at all.
He is, though. Have you noticed he's got like two or three movies now that have been postponed because of this? Like, this, that is insane to me. Like, I get it was stupid. It was, you know, it's something that's going to, but I think the public shame is like enough here. Like, a really post Academy Award win, we're going to, like, Bad Boys, four, like, isn't going to happen now. They were 40 pages into the script. Now it's like being discontinued because, like, come on. This stuff happened.
The new Bad Boys was pretty awesome.
Pretty good. It was fun. Yeah, it's too bad because I remember the same thing happens, and this happens a lot whenever somebody makes a public mistake. I remember hearing, oh my God, the local media in Michigan after the Juwan Howard thing was you thought he assassinated somebody with all the shit that came. Like, it is an unacceptable thing to do on that stage. But a year from now, like, who's going to give a shit?
A week later, barely anyone gives a shit.
Yeah, the SNL skit about it last night was fucking horrible. Like, we can move on with our lives, and I think he should be allowed to as well. He apologized. I'm sure he feels like an ass. Like, don't ruin a guy's career. I mean, he's been pretty unproblematic for a large majority of his time in Hollywood. Like, put him a break.
I was trying to explain that to somebody, like a couple of my friends that like just aren't like movie fans or whatever. And like, I was trying to think of like an analogy for it, but like there isn't an analogy as bad as punching someone smacking someone on the most prestigious stage of anyone in your field. When you're like a lock to win the most prestigious award anyone in your position could ever win. That is like, that's what makes it kind of hard. Cause like, there's no bar. Like, he set the bar basically for like one of the most outrageous things you could ever do. But like, that, I think, in its own thing is like kind of like its own punishment, because now the first thing I think most people will think about Will Smith legacy wise is like, hey, remember when he smacked Chris Rock like on the biggest stage in the world? Not the fact that he's an Oscar winning movie that year. He's in so many movies, one of the most bankable movie stars. Like, that sucks. That sucks a lot. And I think that's probably enough.
The one comp I can make, and it's kind of flimsy, but just in terms of a guy who had a great reputation, who kind of lost it because of one really bad incident, was when Chase Utley broke Ruben Tejada's leg with the slide in the playoffs that year. Like, everyone, except for Mets fan, loved Chase Utley, like, you know, World Series champion in Philadelphia, got to be in the Hall of Fame. But now, like, after that moment, he became the most hated guy in baseball because he, you know, made a hard slide. I mean, it's not the same, but just in terms of damaging what was a pretty good reputation, that's the only comp, like, sports wise I can make.
But it would be even worse than that. It would be like if it was in the World Series, or if it was in like the, like, there, I can't even explain it. Like, if he was in like his MVP award winning ceremony of the World Series and he just punched Rob Manfred in the face, like, it's like the stages are so different. Like,
yeah, no, you're right. But yeah, no, that's a good way to put it. He set the bar.
I just hope that this sparks like a Will Smith, like, Joker arc where he now takes on like actual villain roles. I would love that. That's like his new thing. He's like, all right, you know what? I wasn't going to do true villains before. Now all my characters are scumbags. Like, I would love if that's just what he did. Like, if this gives him
Will Smith playing Coney 2012 in a new movie.
Yeah. Like, I would love for him to do that. Yeah.
Did you guys remember the reason real quick? I just thought of this. Do you remember why he turned down Django Unchained?
I don't remember the exact reason.
It was his reasoning was like, because I don't get to kill the bad guy at the end.
He wasn't. He famously turned down two roles. Turned down The Matrix.
Yeah, right.
But he said it's because he didn't get it. Which I honestly, I don't think.
Yeah.
His explanation number two, where he's like, he met with the Wachowskis and they were explaining it to him. Like, just, they were pantomiming what the effects were. And they're like, yeah, so like, you're going to go down, you're going to go like, J-j-j-j-j-j-j-j-j. And he was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, bro. Get out of my face, which is understandable.
Yeah. The Django one, I think, ended up working out, like whatever Jamie Foxx ended up being. I think I still can't see Will Smith in that role. But yeah, I forgot that that was one of his reasons. Yeah. He gives himself a lot of shit about the Matrix one too, because he ended up doing Wild Wild West after that.
I think history will be better to him though. Like, I think, because like I said, it was a shame. King Richard was so fucking good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just got overlooked. But I think in years later, like when they're like, oh, remember that? What was he up for? King Richard? I think it'll be like a lot of reverse pub like years from now.
Yeah.
People will.
I hope.
We can hope so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was dumb that he did it. I think he very much got the public shame that he probably deserved for doing something like that. Anything more than that is just absolutely absurd. If they take the fucking Oscar away, like that's like a crime. Like, what are we doing? There are significantly scummier people who still have their Oscars.
People also drastically misunderstood what him resigning from the Academy meant. Like, they thought that meant he was giving up his Oscar, or like,
yeah,
just going to get it. He just can't vote. Like, that's
he can't vote. He's not going to vote anymore. Yeah. The voting process for the Oscars is very interesting. If you don't know what it is, it's worth a dive. It's very different than just like a straight up and down the ballot type thing. Gary Oldman cast in Oppenheimer from Christopher Nolan, which, who has it at this point?
Cillian Murphy, list of names. Wait, go through the list and tell me what stands out. I want Eddie specifically. I want him to go through this list of people in this Oppenheimer movie and tell me which one of them makes you stop and go, wait, what?
Wait, I wonder which one you're going to be talking. Oh, okay, I know already.
Yeah,
Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt, Matt Damon, Robert Downey Jr., Florence Pugh, Rami Malek, Benny Safdie, Josh Hartnett, Dane DeHaan, Jack Quaid, Matthew Modine, Alden Ehrenreich, David Krumholtz, Kenneth Branagh, let's see, Josh Peck, Jason Clarke, Alex Wolff, Tony Goldwyn, Gary Oldman. I mean, I could just keep going and going. Which one stood out to you?
One of the Joshes? Is that where you're going?
Yeah. Josh Peck, yeah.
Okay.
Either one.
I thought Hartnett maybe had a little chance there, but, you know.
He's coming back. He's in the Guy Ritchie movie recently. Yeah, and he's in a new
Guy Ritchie movie, too. We're not even allowed to release it yet. I don't even know when we can release that interview.
They delayed that movie, that's why.
Jason Clarke got cast in the movie like 10 minutes after we stopped interviewing him, too. Classic. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this movie, we don't know much about it. It's not coming out for well over a year. It's July 2023. Ludwig Göransson, who did the Mandalorian soundtrack or score, and Black Panther, he's going to be scoring this movie. I'm excited. I'm very, very excited.
I'm really excited about it too. And you know, because it's Nolan. But do you think it is possible with all these names that there's such thing as too famous of a cast? Because some of these people are going to be like in the background. There's no way they're all going to have
I think you're going to get a lot of background. I don't think so. I think at this point, Nolan's one of those guys who just has that, like, you just try, like, he knows what he knows what he's doing here. I think it's just funny that like every week there's two new people cast.
Yeah.
I think he establishes early in the movie just like who the main characters are, and everyone else who's like more of like a side attachment to it, or like just kind of like dressing on the salad that is the big guys. Like, but he'll make it clear who's who and like who's getting a certain amount of exposure. So like, I don't think we'll be upset when like Alden Ehrenreich doesn't get like 20 minutes of speaking roles or whatever.
Yeah, that's fair.
Moving on, last thing, new teaser and tickets releasing for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. But I gotta say too, we have no trailer for Thor, Love and Thunder.
Dude, it still blows my mind. It's coming out so soon. It's nuts.
We also did, if you did not see, we did release a fake trailer for Thor, Love and Thunder. Very meticulously edited, picked a song that I thought would be in the movie, picked You Give Love a Bad Name by Bon Jovi, did a little Joan Jett in there as well. Duped a lot of people on Twitter. Really, the burner account that we tweeted it off of, we changed the name to Marvel Studios. It was so mean that we were not going to do it. But then we just figured it's April Fool's. You can get away with it a little more and people will like kind of play it off. Because I don't think we would have done it if it not been April Fool's. Because it's such a mean way to do people the trailer than just play the video from the NBC hit show, The Slap. So April Fool's, I think we had a little more shield. And people were pretty lighthearted about it. Where I think we had done it like in a week, people would have been pretty pissed. We're under 100 days from that movie. The record for shortest time between first trailer and movie is The Incredible Hulk. Now, that's a very different thing, because I do not think this movie needs much hype. Like, you can just release a poster and people are going to go see it. It's the new Thor. People loved Ragnarok, but it is interesting. Like, my guess is it's going to be this week. It's got to be soon. Moon Knight just came out. They just announced tickets. Tickets are on sale. But even then, like, tickets are on sale this week for Doctor Strange. There's going to be a new trailer. So I don't know when we're going to see anything for Thor. Also, Doctor Strange is 2 hours and 6 minutes, which is a very short runtime.
Surprising.
For considering that
opening up the entire Marvel universe. Hopefully we have
Michael Waldron on soon, who wrote it, especially the rewrites with Sam Raimi. But yeah, very short, right?
I was recently talking to Waldron because, by the way, he agreed with my Harry Potter takes on Goblet of Fire, just making that well known. Famous.
People were really mad that you ranked Goblet of Fire so low.
And Michael Waldron agrees with me. So that's all the help. That's all the people I needed on my team for that. But
Mike Evans, the Buccaneers, not happy with you.
Yeah, fucking go get fucked, dude. Mike Evans, get out of here. Go give another ball away to a little kid or whatever. Or full grown adult, rather, the other way around. But he, I think that like something that makes me excited about this movie is the fact that like the movie that I've seen now twice in the last week, Everything Everywhere All at Once, was like a multiverse movie, and it was so fucking unbelievably good and outrageously good at showing off like the props of or like the possibilities of a multiverse. That now I can think about is how Marvel's going to do that sort of same thing in like where Everything Everywhere All at Once is like a super intimate scope. Like this could be fucking massive, like bringing in like all these different things from everywhere. And every single, I've been to like the movies four times this last week, and every single time before it, I was like, you know, just asleep for all the trailers, but I would always perk up to watch Doctor Strange one. And I think so much of it excites me, especially like the soundtrack, their main theme that they have in the trailer is so good. And like the fact that like Sam Raimi's back behind this, like there's so many things I think to love about this movie. And I'm very excited. Definitely a little bit hesitant just with the runtime. Like I'm always for shorter movies, but like when it's a movie that's like about like opening up the entire fucking universe of Marvel, like it's kind of surprising that it's going to be this short.
I almost view it as a positive. Like maybe they know exactly what they're doing. It's so tight. And like, that could be
great. Yeah. You're right.
Also, yeah. Everything Everywhere All at Once is unbelievable. You gave it a 97. I gave it a 95. Amazing.
One of the best movies I've seen in probably 2 years.
Wow. Yeah. It is going to absolutely be. It would have been my number two behind Dune for 2021, and that's an early 95. Not many movies join the 95 club for me. I typically two or three a year. There was one year, the year with Parasite, I think I had like five or six. So if you can check that out, it's wide April 8th everywhere. I think this weekend, yep. Right?
Yeah,
it's
dude,
an absolute must see.
I laughed so much during that movie. I also cried so much during that movie, both watches, and it only got better after the second watch. It's unfucking believable. Full roller coaster, every single genre blended into one.
All right, we got to talk Morbius, but first, this episode brought to you by Manscaped. Summer's coming up, folks. I feel like this is prime like manscaping season, right?
Oh yeah. You don't want to take off your shirt when you're at the beach and like you see that little. Like there's, I don't know if you guys do this sometimes, but like, you know, you shave the pubic area. That's what Manscaped's for, right? But then if you leave not enough of a transition between your belly hair and your pubic hair, it's very visible if you like it, your bathing suit gets tugged a little bit whole. So you got it, you're tugged a little bit low. So you got to make sure you're up on your manscaping.
Yeah, you got to get the Lawnmower 4.0. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Get ready for Shaved Boy Summer, they're calling it. 20% off and free shipping with code LIGHTS. 20% off. Get the ear and nose hair trimmer. Don't underestimate that either. Obviously, don't pluck your nose hair. Eddie, you know this, right? Don't pluck your nose hair. You could die. Can't do it. So trim it. Crop preserver, anti-chafing ball deodorant. You need that for the summer. The ball spray toner. Definitely get that. You get back from the beach. You gotta feel fresh. Magic Mat. It's a disposable shaving mat. How about that? But the Lawnmower 4.0, all new skin safe technology. I never charge mine either. And I take for granted how long the charge lasts. Like I pretend that thing lasts a year and it lasts a long time, but I go like 5 months between charging that thing and I'm always regretting it. But that's a testament to how long it stays charged. Get 20% off free shipping with code LIGHTS, L-I-G-H-T-S, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code LIGHTS at manscaped.com. Yeah, thank you. Thank you to Manscaped. It's time to do it. Summer. Morbius, which at one point, wasn't it called Morbius the Living Vampire?
Yeah, I almost like wish it stayed that way.
Didn't it have like a subtitle?
I'm pretty sure it was just that, wasn't it? Morbius the Living Vampire. Well, that's like his name in Marvel, right? Or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, dangerously ill with a rare blood disorder and determined to save others suffering from his same fate, Dr. Michael Morbius, played by Jared Leto, attempts a desperate gamble. But what at first appears to be a radical success soon reveals itself to be a remedy potentially worse than the disease. That's not exactly accurate. There was no at no point does it appear to be a radical success. It's a radical disaster from the get-go. This is a full spoiler review. I don't care. This movie that has 17% on Rotten Tomatoes, critic approval rating. You know, you might be asking yourself, oh, but how do the critics? Well, actually, fans now have it at a 70%, and I think it got review bombed.
Oh yeah. No. What makes you say that?
It was at, like, it was not that high initially. This movie is, it's a bad movie. This is definitely a bad movie. It is for sure in the lower tier of comic book movies. I don't think it's going to be as bad for some people as most say it will be. I think the sentiment around Morbius is that it's like a zero, that it's like a zero to 10, that this is like Fantastic Four 2015, which was just not a complete movie. It was like an incomplete movie. It was like different movies meshed together because they had to get it out. Like, this isn't bottom of the barrel worst comic book movie I've ever seen. There's so many worse, from Max Steel to Jonah Hex to Elektra, just bad movies. So I will defend Morbius in that sense. I don't think it's going to be the worst you've ever seen, like some may call it, because you know they initially see the Rotten Tomatoes score, you kind of get the word of mouth on that. With that said, this movie's dog shit. It's a bad movie. I hated it. It is almost nonsensical in some spots. It's a complete movie start to finish. But like, there's just so many wacky, weird things. The tone is bizarre. I really, really, really did not like the Matt Smith villain character, like at all. Like, incredibly off-putting. I gave the movie a 29 out of 100. It's a bad movie. This is just above Suicide Squad. It's right on par with Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Shout out to Mr. Fantastic, Ian Gufford. Morbius is not good. 29 out of 100. There's much more to talk about. Ken Jack, what'd you give it?
So I landed on a 20 out of 100. And I think there's like a lot of things that suck about the movie. So it's almost better to start off with what I think was actually good. And I think that going into it with tempered expectations, I agree with you in that, like, I thought it was me way worse than it actually was. It's like a bearable movie. It's just, it's very bad. But the good things are that I don't think the VFX were nearly as bad as I expected them to be based off those early sort of reviews and everything. I think that considering the sheer volume that was needed, not only was the action sequences with like Leto and Smith's entire like facial buildup too, like, just think about that, like beyond all the settings needing to be that way, like all of the faces, every face you see needs to basically be CGI'd at some point. I think it looked good for that, for what it was worth. And also I think some of the camera work was kind of cool. Like the tracking shots were sort of interesting, and like specifically like the fight where they bring him down the stairs into the subway and all that, I thought was really cool. The way, again, strictly in the way that they shot it. On the other end of things though, I think there's a couple of big problems with this. And then number one being that every relationship in this movie is fucking terrible. Whether it's Morbius and Bancroft, or Morbius and Jared Harris, Morbius and Matt Smith and Jared Harris, like every single relationship were very rushed and not believable. And that would be okay in the right circumstances. But so much of this movie hinged on you being invested in those relationships. And like, because of that reason, it really fucked up. I think Leto is just not a sympathetic actor. And isn't to say he's like a bad actor. I think he's just like, he's not right for any role where the audience needs to like him or feel a sympathetic connection to him, because he's just not good at that. and just, it's a movie that almost kind of made me frustrated more than anything else, because like, I think if they remove the childhood scenes, which are awful, by the way, the romantic subplot, and if they just focus this movie on the friendship of Matt Smith and Jared Leto, and then they could have built it into something cool. Like that battle and the broken friendship could have been something that we're like actually invested in. But because things are being pulled in so many different directions and things are being so rushed, like I Matt Smith always seemed like kind of fucking evil, and I don't even know why they were friends. For what me as an audience member knows, he's only been friends with Jared Leto for all 5 minutes when they were kids. And like, now I'm supposed to believe they're like best friends and all this shit. And like, that was a waste. The relationship between Leto and Bancroft being like platonic until it just randomly wasn't out of fucking nowhere was really frustrating. And also Tyrese Gibson, was he even in this movie? He's like, he should may as well have not been, because basically the FBI do not impact this movie whatsoever. And the fucking character, his sidekick or whatever, was one of the worst fucking comedic relief guys I think I've ever seen in my fucking life. And just third act was rushed shit. I think the climax and the fight sequence was very unsatisfying. And also just very poorly edited movie. Like this movie, man, did they fucking love title cards. Like they just fucking flipping you between 20 different locations. Like, yeah, Long Island Sound, New York City, Costa Rica. It's like all within 5 minutes of each other. Like it was just bizarre. It's very much not a bad movie, but I will stick with that. Like the having tempered expectations going into it definitely helped me enjoy it a little more than I otherwise would have, which was already bad because my theater fucked up the showing. Basically, like the movie wouldn't play. Like the sound was off, the picture was off, everything was off, and like we had to go and get it fixed. And then the picture worked, but the sound didn't. And then they had to go back and fix it again. And then by that point, I was already mad at Morbius for it. So that's good old The Living Vampire for you.
Chris, 20 from Ken Jack, 27 for me. Where do you land on it with Morbius?
This is going to blow your minds, but I'm actually giving it a higher rating than you guys are by a fair amount.
First time ever?
Yes, wow. I know. I have this at a 35.
Not that much higher. I thought you were going to say like 60.
No. I too will start with something positive. The first 20 minutes didn't blow me away, but I liked them. And now it's obviously a huge part of this is lowered expectations. Like I expected this would be another Venom, Let There Be Carnage, which I know I bring it up like every week, is the worst movie I've ever seen. Like that movie to me was the equivalent of somebody smashing pots and pans into my ear for 2 hours as somebody played the world's loudest drum set right next to me. Like that was just an abysmal experience. 20 minutes in, did I like it? Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I knew who Michael Morbius was. His motivation made sense. It was kind of choppy, and you know, the scenes with the kids weren't very good, but I was with it. I pinpointed the exact moment that the movie went to shit. It's pretty rare that this happens. It's the second you see Morbius, the vampire, in a 20-year out-of-date ripoff of The Matrix, and CG that, at least in that scene, looked like the graphics from a PS2 game. And the rest of the movie was really bad. But its biggest problem is that it's just so bland. There was never a moment where I went, oh, I hate this. This is the worst thing ever. But there was never a moment that I liked. There's one really bizarre scene, and I got Spider-Man 3 vibes of Matt Smith dancing in his apartment for whatever reason. That was weird. Other than
by the way, there's so much British rap music in this movie. And by that, I mean, there's one song and it's the only one I remember. So I just think that there's just only British rap in this movie.
Yeah, it's a bizarrely put together film. It's not good. It wouldn't shock me at all if it made my bottom 10 list at the end of the year. But I think its biggest crime is that it's just not memorable in the slightest. For a movie that got delayed a million times, that got memed to death, I'm going to forget a week from now that I even saw it. So it's not good whatsoever. There's a few somewhat redeeming elements. I actually don't think Jared Leto is that bad in this. I think much like the rest of the film, he's just kind of vanilla. But I don't think he's awful in it. It still shouldn't exist. It was still a waste of my time. And I'd probably give it a lower rating if in the middle of the movie I didn't find out that Spencer Torkelson made the Tigers. That might have bumped up my rating a few points. But besides that, no, it's not good at all. I don't recommend it to anybody. But it's one of those rare instances where nothing in it offended me. It's just a poorly put together movie that shouldn't exist.
So not as low as us, but still pretty low. Eddie, you're not a huge comic book movie guy.
No, like
not a big. We jokingly said you're a big Jared Leto guy. You're not, but I do believe you like this movie a little more than we did.
Same thing. I'm with Chris. I was expecting it to be such a colossal piece of shit. And I walked out of there like, it wasn't that bad. You know, it wasn't as bad as, you know, I just saw, I think maybe Ken Jack posted the, you know, I saw the green splatter tomato and the 17%. What do you guys posted? And I was like, oh, this is going to be a miserable hour and 40 minutes. I don't know. I'm like I said, I've seen three Marvel movies. I know this is not Marvel, but I've only seen three of them. And I've seen all the Batmans. But besides that, I'm like a comic book, you know, noob, you know, so I don't know anything about it. But just from a straight movie perspective, it was, I don't know, it like I was never sitting there like completely miserable. But like Chris said, it was just kind of, it was never too bad to really get mad about, but it was never anything good. It was just, it's just kind of there. I thought that, I agree with you. The big thing to me was the two cops, Tyrese and the other guy, was like, it was satire, how bad it was. Like, it was
terrible.
It was so, those guys were horrible. It's like, wait, like they were trying to be funny, but they weren't. Like they, like they never fully committed to the joke. It was bad. That was also, like,
they didn't impact the movie at all, which is, I think, the thing that frustrates me more. The FBI had no, they were never on the run from them. They were never trying to get away. Like, they had no bearing on the movie. It was crazy.
Yeah, I thought the opening scene was weird. Like, I like where, like, what would that? I don't know. I didn't understand it. If you guys saw anything into that, but it, like the way they went from that to where the movie started was weird. The same thing. Movies always portray this the same way, but are kids really that mean to kids on crutches? You know, I don't know what that was. I don't know what that had to do with anything, but overall, I wasn't miserable. I thought the last fight scene was bad too, but
super generic, like super like out of the, like the Family Guy, South Park, Manatee, where they pick the fucking storylines and shit. And like the references, like just plucked from the Marvel, like the non MCU bit, even like the crappy MCU, like just like that bin of just generic ass endings. It felt very similar to the Venom Let There Be Carnage ending.
Yeah.
Like dumpy warehouse. I guess that was in a church.
I thought, but like, the hallway scene being, was like, good.
Yeah.
With the nurse. You know, when he, yeah. Like it was, you know, I was like, okay.
Right. That's, I'll give that a positive. The scene where the nurse, where he kills the nurse and sucks her blood.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually scary. And I actually had somebody in my theater freak out when Morbius, like, kind of when the light flickers and you see Morbius for a, like a quick jump scare. Someone in my theater just went like, oh shit, fuck no. I was like, oh, all right. Like,
one of the least forgiving, more of that vibe. Some of the least forgiving motion lights I think I've ever seen in my life. Like a 2 second runtime you get for those bad boys. You stop moving, they're turning right off. Unbelievable. Yeah.
I think a big mistake, and Eddie, let me know if you agree with this. I think a big mistake with this and with Venom, and I get they're anti-heroes, is I just think the villain is so unnecessary, at least to the story. Yes. Like, there's got to be a more creative way to do the villain. The villain, I'm not talking about Let There Be Carnage, a whole different beast because it was a second movie. But the villain, the Riz Ahmed villain in the first Venom was so irrelevant. And, like, the symbiotes, everything, like, it just took away from, like, the Venom, Eddie Brock and Venom were enjoyable, but everything else distracted. I wish Morbius was like more of the focus, as like, because part of it is like, he is part of the Sinister Six. He's a villain. Like, again, I know all these characters are like viewed as, can be viewed as anti-heroes, but like, I don't need like the more, he's the bad guy, but there's a badder guy. Like, I don't need that. Like, that totally takes away from like the point of the movie, which for me should be this character. So that's a big distraction for me. I don't know if the villain bothered you.
No, and that's the thing too. I just had a hard time buying that, since he was fully healthy and he had full use of his body, that's what made him break bad. Like, that was the moment. That's what he was waiting for, to become an evil guy. He just needed the full use of, you know, it was just weird.
Well, like all that work to just be hunted as like a mass murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's another thing that bothered me too, Jeff, and I know this won't happen, and I felt the same way with both the Venom movies. This really needs to be rated R. The guy sucks people's blood, drinks blood for like his superpower. It was the same thing with Venom.
And there's no blood in this movie. Mm-hmm.
Right. There's scenes where there's literally no blood. Like, at least there's one moment with Richard Harris where it's like, okay, or is it, wait, what did I say? Richard, I'm not sure. And where it's like, okay, you could see some blood, but other than that, like, it is so tame as a movie. Like that, I think that the Venom movies really suffered from that as well, where as bad as they are, you could have at least come out of it and been like, dude, there was some dope gore. Like what was a movie we saw recently that I didn't even like, but I remember coming out of it being like, that movie had some of the best death scenes, was that dumb Foo Fighters movie like that we saw. Yeah. At least that had some really unique kills. And when you have a character whose superpower is to eat people, the entire, it just feels so tame. It feels so stuck in one gear.
Is it fair that when I think of Jared Harris, I think of his role in Mr. Deeds first?
Oh yeah. I almost forget about that.
He plays great the TV. Actor. He plays like the TMZ guy. Yeah.
He was always so brilliant in Chernobyl. He was now that's one of my favorite performances.
By the way,
like in any medium.
I'm not going to look it up. You were mistaken with Richard Harris earlier. I think he's related to Richard Harris. I think he's his nephew or something like that.
You might be right. Yeah.
If I remember correctly. I think the problem with his character and with the Matt Smith character is like we just don't have enough to be developed there. Like that's supposed to be a big scene. Like he's supposed to, like Morbius is supposed to have like his heartbroken seeing his father figure die. He's not established as a father figure. He's not established as a father figure to either Morbius or Matt Smith. And like, that's why I feel like when he died, like that was such like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't care that this guy just died. And the same thing when Bancroft died too, because like the relationship between Morbius and Bancroft just wasn't there. And that's why, again, when we get to the point where like, this is the, Morbius is, that kind of comes to the realization, like I need to kill Matt Smith. Like he's my brother and all that thing. Like my blood brother and all these things. It's like, he's not like, you never established this well enough where I'm like, this is like this big thing where like, you're gonna have to wrestle with yourself on whether or not you're going to kill this guy. Like this guy is just like a rich guy with a disease that the second he got healthy, turned into a homicidal maniac, like with the flip of a switch. Unlike why did that happen to him and not Jared Leto? But like that, it's just that part to me really frustrates me, because if they just built the relationships a little bit better or took some moving parts out of it, then this would have been just significantly better. And we should mention, I think something that all of us had brought up once is the fact that they kind of like tried to rip off the Dark Knight or the Nolan trilogy as far as soundtrack goes. And yeah. And plot beats as well, which is kind of crazy.
There's a wild part to this movie where it's unbelievable. And I don't think I've sent a tweet in the middle of a movie ever. I had to pull my phone out and tweet about it just so I didn't forget about it. I couldn't believe it. There's a part in this movie where Michael Morbius steps into a tube of bats, and they are playing what sounds exactly, and I mean exactly, like the Hans Zimmer score from The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Like, and this is from the same scene where Batman does that in Batman Begins too, when he steps into the Batcave and for the first time, all the bats swarm him.
It is absolutely insane. And somebody, I looked it up on Twitter right when I left the theater. I'm like, what are people saying about this? If they don't have to pick, like, am I going crazy? Like, did other people pick up on this? And everybody who saw early screenings did. Someone said, like, did they leave like a temporary track in there? Like, it's like almost like, you know, if you ever submit like homework or something or a project, or if you edit a video, this happens now and then, you're like, fuck, I just all the time, like, I forgot to do something, add something or edit it out. Where it's like almost they were like, hey, let's get back to this. Let's do a very Hans Zimmer-esque like score for this scene. And then like they just put like the Dark Knight Hans Zimmer theme in there. And then they submitted the movie like, oh shit, we didn't take it out. It sounded exactly. The musical cue is spot on. I couldn't believe it.
When it comes out, I think we can actually post it. We're definitely gonna have to do a side-by-side of how similar those two scenes are, because it is a one-for-one ripoff. And not only, I think, in that scene and with that soundtrack, but I think there's other parts of this movie that they try to rip, or at least style Jack from the Nolan trilogy, especially like, I think their use of like establishing shots with city skyline. They use that in Dark Knight and every Batman movie. They use that all the time. Nolan loved that. And they were in love with that in this movie. They did that 100 times. And I think they took a couple other, just as far as like the way that they operated in darkness and all that stuff. I think they just took a lot from Dark Knight, not inspiration. Like it's to the point of plagiarism, which is a little bit like, it takes you out of the movie when like you sit there doing Leo point meme and going there, that's just Dark Knight.
Baffling. I was absolutely stunned. Some of the script is pretty shitty too. Like, this is a shitty movie. I really don't like this movie. But there's a couple things that really stick out as like weird too. First of all, the trailer. Marvel is known, Marvel Studios, Disney, is known for the reverse. They will take stuff out of their trailers and then you see it in the movies. This was, they took stuff out of the trailers and it wasn't in the movie. All of the MCU related references and Spider-Man references were not in the movie. The only thing that was in the movie from the trailers that was like MCU related was the post-credit scene involves Adrian Toomes, aka Michael Keaton, the Vulture character from Spider-Man Homecoming, which we'll get to in a second because that just makes no sense, by the way.
I didn't just stay for that. I didn't stay for the post-credit.
It doesn't make any sense. And I'll get into it and I'm going to get to my point here in a second. So the line was in the trailer, Michael Morbius attacks like this group of people and he says, who are you? He goes, I am Venom. And then he jokes, he's like, oh, I'm just kidding, I'm Michael Morbius. In the movie, he doesn't do that. He just
goes, what the
I
fuck?
Am Venom.
He just really says, quickly, yeah.
Really quickly, then he attacks. Like it's not even played off as a joke. And if you didn't know he said that in the trailer, you wouldn't have known he said it in the movie either. Because it was so quick. Like the only reason I knew that's what he said, because I saw it in the trailer and they like slowed it down in the trailer. It was so bizarre. I think it's very clear that Sony may be distancing themselves a little bit from this in a sense for like, we can cut ties with this if we have to. The director, Jared Leto, they are not. They're like, Jared Leto wants to be, he wants Tom Holland, he wants Tobey Maguire, he wants Willem Dafoe, he wants every character under the sun to interact with his Morbius. And I feel like somebody's like, dude, it's not going to happen. Because yeah. You also know that Kevin Feige and Marvel Studios want nothing to do with this movie.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Like this, they want nothing. The post-credit scene, Adrian Toomes appears in a jail cell in the universe that Morbius is set in. And you see the purple shit in the sky like Spider-Man No Way Home. So you see the spell from Doctor Strange. He appears. That's not how that worked. And like, I know it's whatever, like this is, we're talking about a living vampire and like Spider-Man, like, so you can bend the rules. But like, if it's supposed to be with the universe of Marvel and connected to that movie, this isn't how it works. Well, he's not supposed to go over to another universe. It's everyone who knows Peter Parker comes into that universe where the spell is cast. So why is Adrian Toomes zapped out of that universe? And then why is he not zapped back in when Doctor Strange fixes the spell? And then on top of that, someone also mentioned the first post-credit scene, he appears in the jail cell. In the second post-credit scene, he approaches Michael Morbius, but he has his Vulture suit on. But the Vulture suit from Spider-Man Homecoming was built by Chitauri Tech, the aliens that invaded Earth with Loki and the Avengers. That's not in the Morbius universe, so none of it makes sense. Like, if you want to get technical about it, the explanation, there is no explanation. I know, Kendrick, you watch New Rock Stars. They do very insanely precise breakdowns of comic book and Star Wars properties. And the guy who does the video, he releases breakdown of the post-credit scene in Morbius. And he was like, honestly, I can't explain it. I've never seen him miffed by like an Easter egg or anything. He's like, it doesn't make any sense. He goes, if you break down how this works from Spider-Man, this post-credit scene makes literally no sense. So I don't know if they edited it last second and they took, because like, Michael Keaton was in the trailer for the movie and he's only in the post-credit scene. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, I feel vindicated today because we talked about this trailer, these trailers multiple times and how this connects to the universe. And I said on multiple occasions, I don't think they have a plan. I don't think they have a set concrete idea of where this movie is going to be, what it's going to connect to. And I still don't think they do, because you just explained there's two post-credit sequences that logistically and in terms of continuity don't line up with any universe that currently exists. Like, it's so annoying. And if I'm Kevin Feige, I want to pull my hair out, because it's like, I've worked so hard to create a universe where everything is aligned, the continuity makes sense. And then you have Sony who, man, thank God Sam Raimi knew what he was doing with those first two Spider-Man movies, or else they would be the worst studio ever at making comic book films. They stink.
Quite it's bad. Just, pretty shit track record, to be honest. And that's something, and that's like, it's tough when you're doing it much worse than the DCEU. That means you're really fucked up.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just, it's a bizarre movie, how it all plays out. Anything else in the movie that we, Eddie, did you, I'll start with you. I want your reaction to say, did you see the Tyrese Gibson thing?
Oh yeah. I saw Ken Jack tweeted earlier today and
it is, I have nothing against Tyrese.
That's hard.
This is tough. This is embarrassing.
Yeah, it's like hard to laugh at. It's so bad. It's hard to even laugh at.
It is. It's super cringe, sad, embarrassing. Yeah. Tyrese Instagrammed a tweet. Somebody tweeted a quote from Martin Scorsese, and he's photoshopped in front of a Morbius premiere
splash thing, yes.
Step and repeat, like red carpet thing.
It's very photoshopped.
Here's the quote. I was a guest to find
Wait. Do it in Martin Scorsese's voice.
Have to do it. I can't do a Martin.
I was a guest to find out that it was based on a comic book. This is the truest height of cinema, and even I cannot top it. A wise man admits when he is wrong, and I was wrong. I apologize to all comic book movies. Yeah, baby.
Good Photoshop of him, by the way. It does look like he's on the red carpet. Tyrese posted a screenshot of the tweet in the picture and said, wow, I can't believe what just happened. Whoa. Cheers and hats off to you, Daniel_Espinosa. This is so messy, director. This is the king of kings of cinema, Martin Scorsese. This is huge.
Let me try this in a Tyrese Gibson voice now. No, absolutely not doing that. But yeah, insane. No, that was very, very embarrassing.
Eddie, you said it. It's hard to laugh at because it's like, it's so bad.
It's like a mean joke. It's like when you tell the kid, like, hey, like the worst kid on the team, like, hey, their game's canceled tomorrow. You know, like you just, it's so mean that you feel bad even laughing at it. You know, it's just that, like, it's that tough.
Mm-hmm. It's very, and that this comes off the heels too of, don't forget, Tyrese Gibson also very confidently said, I think it's comicbookmovies.com or whatever, that Morbius was part of the MCU, which it is not. Never was, never will be. And he very confidently said that in an interview and then had to backtrack it later. He's just not a particularly smart man. It just makes many mistakes, especially when it comes to Morbius.
Ugh, it's just so cringeworthy. It's like tough to look at. I think that's it on Morbius. I'm trying to think of other things that I'd like about this movie. I don't know. It just wasn't tonally weird. I really don't like the Matt Smith character. How many times can Matt Smith's character dance, by the way?
Good dancer. I didn't expect that from him. Any English person, I assume they're going to dance like shit. Also, great cheekbones for a vampire, got to say. And they made those cheekbones even deeper when he went into vampire mode, which is like the Morbius version of sicko mode, by the way. And like he just looked great.
Would you have liked the movie more if Morbius said it's time to go sicko mode every time he transformed?
And then no, it's like Shazam. Like he has to say that in order to transform into a vampire.
I'm mode.
I'm about to go vampire mode, mate. I would love it. That's more Australian than anything. Shit.
Did anyone watch The Bubble? By the way, the Judd Apatow comedy.
No, I'm about to watch it right after we're done recording here. But we talked about the trailer, and I was blown away by how unfunny I found the trailer. And
yeah, I did not like it.
I'm hearing some really bad things about this. I'm rooting for it because I like all the people in it. And I like Judd Apatow. I've not watched yet, but by the time this is uploaded, all of my thoughts.
Next week, I don't know what we're gonna do. I want to talk Everything Everywhere All at Once. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 comes out, Ambulance comes out, the new it's like the highest rated Michael Bay movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
How many have there been more reviews recently? Because there were.
I got to look. But then after that, we got Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. Very excited for that.
What's his secret? What's Dumbledore's secret? I'm dying to know. I want
to. I'm actually hearing some OK things about that, though. Surprisingly.
I wouldn't be shocked if it's good because they're just doing Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah, like, what's his name? Artemis Fowl or whatever. He's, like, barely even part of it anymore. What's his real name? Newt Scamander?
Newt Scamander, yeah. 72% for Ambulance. I have said since the trailer, I've looked forward to Ambulance from Michael Bay. You're Michael Bay, too. He admitted he said he should have stopped doing Transformers movies.
Yeah. That's Agreed. Probably would have been good. Did he direct all five. Yeah.
Ambulance looks so, but it could be good because I think Michael Bay, there's no such thing as a restrained Michael Bay, but like, I feel like he became an even greater parody of himself after the first Transformers, where this reminds me, kind of more so of like the first two Bad Boys movies, or The Rock, which is a little bit still big budget, but a little bit more subdued. And I wrote a blog about this. He came out and said that the CG in the movie sucks, which I thought was funny.
So we'll see. We talked to Adam Scott. He's got a show called Severance. We talked about that and much more. Check it out. All right. We are very excited. Very, very. We have a lot of things to get to. Maybe some wacky things to get to. We have Adam Scott with us for the first time ever on the show. How's everything going?
It's going great. Thank you so much for having me.
Severance. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Friday's Apple TV Plus. A little synopsis. Lumen Industries uses a severance medical procedure to separate the non-work memories of some of their employees from their work memories. What can you tell people? Thriller, a little bit of psychological drama. Love the trailer, by the way, if those haven't seen it. And it's on Apple TV Plus, premiered in February. You have not watched it. But what can you tell people about Severance who haven't seen it yet? Maybe you want to have them get into it.
Sure.
Your thoughts.
Yeah, it takes place in a world where you can get, like you said, a procedure done. You get a chip implanted in your brain. So once you cross the threshold of your job, all of your memories of the outside world disappear and you can't access them. So your entire life is that job. And then at the end of the day, when you cross the threshold to go home, you have no memories of what happened at work. So you have two completely separate lives that you're living in. So the idea being, this is the ultimate work-life balance. You can just enjoy your life, your personal life, and you can do the best possible job at work because you don't have to think about or worry about anything else in either circumstance.
Four more episodes that are coming out in the next couple of weeks, the 18th, 25th, 1st of April, and April 8th. Getting a show greenlit like this has to be great. And Apple TV Plus has put out, obviously, some things that have made waves. You have The Morning Show. I don't think you have to really. I mean, Ted Lasso is a revolution. How gratifying is it, not just to get a greenlit, but to get a greenlit in like a streaming platform and service right now that is pumping out some like very cinematic, great series?
Yeah, no, it's the best possible place for the show for sure. Their shows are incredible and they treat their shows really well and market them expertly. And we just couldn't be luckier.
There's like a really cool spin on sort of the corporate grind set. And it almost reminds me of like almost if Office Space was like a thriller, like a psychological thriller. That same sort of like mental state. What drew it to you, let's say?
Yeah. First of all, I think that's sort of what Ben Stiller, who directed most of the episodes and is executive producer, what he really had in mind was sort of, you know, because when you watch that first episode, it starts out feeling sort of Office Spacey or like The Office or Parks and Rec, sort of this light sort of office banter. But you sort of get this feeling there's something sinister lurking underneath and there's something just sort of off about this place. And yeah, that's sort of what drew me to it. I think, you know, that idea, but also the big science fiction idea of these two different bifurcated lives that you're living. And if you are cut off from everything that happens at your job, then what is happening at that job? What is this company doing to you or with you? Why are they cutting you off from the rest of your life? These are all questions that I would ask if I was in that circumstance. And this company, Lumen, that we all work for, is mysterious and has been around for, you know, 150 years or something. And no one quite knows what they're up to. The work they're having us do down there is certainly weird and doesn't make any sense.
You know, the way you phrase that, I just saw earlier yesterday, I had to use baking soda for the first time in a long time. And Arm & Hammer's been around for 170 years. Like, yeah. What have they been up to? Now you got me thinking about these other old companies. What they've been had.
Well, no, it's true. There's all kinds of companies like that where you're like eating your cereal and you're like, wait a second. They also make my air conditioner. What is this? You know, there are a few of these American corporations have just sort of been around and they make all sorts of weird shit.
Kirkland, I think, is a great example there. If you've ever been to Costco, Kirkland makes boots, Kirkland. But they also make chicken. They also make it's
they do it all.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't quite
they can get a coffin or a toothbrush. Yeah. They make it all.
Yes. That's actually one of the best parts of the movie Idiocracy is when they go to Costco and the guy's a law degree from Costco in the future.
Idiocracy, you mentioned Ben's, man. That's a great movie.
Unreal. Very predictive, like insanely predictive, unfortunately.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
You mentioned Ben Stiller. He obviously directed 6 episodes, EP'd. He's been your director before on Walter Mitty. What's he like as a director? Is he a... like a player's coach, so to speak?
Yeah, you know, Ben obviously is an actor himself and a great one. And so he understands how weird that job is and how hard the job can be, you know, not saying it's as hard as a real job, but it's, you know, being in front of the camera is a weird experience. And so he gets that and he knows how to talk to actors really well. And he's also this brilliant storyteller and this visual storyteller. And I think the look of the show really kind of speaks to that. And Walter Mitty as well. And Tropic Thunder, which is one of my very favorite movies ever. He's an incredible director and someone that I just trust 100% and feel like I can just let go and just let myself kind of get lost in the scene without having to worry about whether it's good or bad, because I've got Ben there and I trust his taste so much that I can just go and be good or shitty. And he will be the judge of what he uses or not. And that's what you want in a director, someone you trust completely.
I like how you at least admitted that acting is not a real job, unlike podcasting, which all three of us do. Real job right there. Manly, blue collar stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I have calluses all over my hands from podcasting.
My too. From holding this blue snowball microphone. I'm in.
Look, you would not believe. I've got this one. It's not easy.
What is it for you, especially, so many people will know you a ton from comedic roles too. This is obviously something a little different. And you've gone back and forth plenty on things like that. And even kind of a mix of the Krampuses of the world, right? Like when you're picking roles, is it just if I see it, I like it. Or do you try to space out like a little comedy here, maybe a little something more dramatic here just to kind of keep things fresh? Or does it not matter as much?
No, it's sort of both. I mean, what I figured out and somewhat recently is that the number one thing I need to, the thing that's worked out for me the best is finding things that I would want to watch, that I would want to go see. That really is the only way I can judge something, because when I've gone by that metric, it's worked out. Party Down, Parks and Rec, Step Brothers, The Overnight, and now Severance. When I first read it, I was like, this is something that, because I love Twilight Zone and Black Mirror and you know, even Total Recall. I really loved as a kid. The Terminator, the original Terminator, just blew my mind as a kid because it had that central conceit, that central idea was just mind-blowing and just kind of really opened up my imagination. And this is one of those things that has this really cool central idea that everything else grows from. And so that's really all, because whenever I've done something for any other reason other than this is something I want to go see, it's, you know, Big Little Lies is another one. It was a conscious choice. I wanted to go do something more dramatic. And reading the scripts, I was like, ooh, this is really addictive and good and fun. Whereas when I've done stuff for other reasons, either like money or I think this might be a thing for my career, it never quite works out.
It doesn't feel the same. I saw, this may be true or not, I really don't know, that a second season shooting right now, kind of nearby to us in New York, New Jersey. I don't know if it's true or not, just saw the call sheet. But if true, is there anything you can tell us about season two as far as direction goes?
You saw a call sheet for Severance season two?
That's what I saw. I looked up just Severance. I was like, huh, I wonder if they got greenlit for season two. And on the Wikipedia and in all other places, it said, yeah, they're filming season two right now as we speak. And it said it started the 14th.
No. We're not shooting season two right now, and hopefully we will be soon. But we're still kind of waiting to see what happens with that.
Fair enough.
Apple TV Plus, check it out now. We got to nerd out with you for a second. Specifically me. My moment was a little less fanfare based than you, but you obviously got to meet Mark Hamill on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Pretty cool surprise. Kristen Bell was hosting. I got the chance to meet Mark Hamill. He is also my like childhood hero. Usually I'm doing this I'm in Austin, Texas right now. Usually I'm home in New York and there's just Star Wars toys all over my office.
Like, he's got the Kenners, man. He's got all the good stuff.
Like, oh, that's great.
I got, and then one of my coworkers, Robbie, we got a chance to meet him. And here is me with Mark, and he's actually holding. We got to play with, like, he was looking at my Luke Skywalker action figures when I was a kid.
That's amazing. I mean,
you got to see him. It was national TV, came out. He had the lightsaber, and you said it was like the greatest. Can you, in your words, describe what it's like when, like, your icon and idol is a character like Luke Skywalker, and you're there with it. It's indescribable, right?
Yeah, it was really crazy because also it was a complete surprise. Before the show, you know, on talk shows, they kind of go over what you're going to talk about out there. And they were like, so we wanted to talk about Star Wars. And I was like, really? I feel like everyone's kind of talking about Star Wars and I don't know what, you know, are people sick of me talking about Star Wars? Are you sure? And they're like, yeah, we really think that it would be fun. And I was like, okay, fine. Let's talk about Star Wars. Little did I know. And it was because when I was in the second grade, I invited Mark Hamill to my birthday party. It was right when Empire Strikes Back came out, and wrote him a letter and all this, and he never showed up. And so they're like, well, and then he comes out. It was such a bizarre moment because there's a studio audience there, cameras, lights, and then the door opens and there's like smoke comes out and he emerges holding a lightsaber. It's just insane. I couldn't believe it. And I think you can tell watching that clip that I'm surprised and acting like literally like a 5-year-old. It was unbelievable meeting someone like that. And then he's so cool and knows how much he means to you and indulged me and was just so nice. And I, you know, it was, I'll never forget it. Just like I'm sure you'll never forget your interaction.
I told my coworker, cool, I'm like, I don't think you appreciate the fact that he is holding my Luke Skywalker and Stormtrooper disguised toy from, like, I don't think you,
it's crazy.
And he's one of the few guys that I think in any of those worlds, like Star Wars, Star Trek, whatever, like that is very, like you're mentioning, indulgent. Like Harrison Ford, not going to give you, I think, that same sort of level of indulgement. But like, man, Mark Hamill is always appreciated. And I think that's something like everyone loves about him, right?
Yeah. Really cool guy.
If you could be part of any Star Wars project, past or present, which one would you have wanted to be part of or would want to be part of?
That's great. Question. Well, my favorite, I think, along with many others, is Empire Strikes Back, both for, you know, what it meant to me at the time, but also just how great it is. And still, I marvel at just the perfection of that movie. I really loved Force Awakens, the new ones I had a lot of admiration for, and my son is now 15. And so, you know, I showed him all the first three Star Wars movies when he was, on his fifth birthday. We watched all of them. And so he kind of grew up with it too. So I got to bring him to Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and Rise of Skywalker on the, you know, opening nights. And, so as far as what I would want to be a part of, I don't know, maybe a new world, you know, something new in the future. I would kill to be a part of any of that.
The future, but it is a long time ago. Don't forget.
Yeah. A long time ago, obviously, in a galaxy far, far away.
Very, very far.
We
are really far.
We are a very dumb podcast. I want to note that before I set up what I'm about to tell you. Very stupid. and this is no slight on Secret Life of Walter Mitty, which I think is one of the more underrated movies the last, what, 10, 15, however many years it came out. Love Secret Life of Walter Mitty. But we have a bit. Our Twitter account for the podcast, it's decent size, decent following. We post trailers and, you know, get a couple thousand. And we post real movie news. Like someone's casting Oppenheimer with Christopher Nolan. It's real. Like we're an account. But we also post some fake nonsense. And we routinely, for the last, what, I'd say 4 years now,
yeah,
we do this. And I'm going to show it to you. We will post that tonight. And we just did this like 15 minutes ago again. We will post that the trailer for The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, a new movie, is about to come out. And we'll make like fake commercials.
Uh-huh.
Like real fake commercials, say like it's going to air on like NBC or something.
Uh-huh.
And the replies are always the same. If people like, they're like,
oh, cool,
for a new movie. They're like, this movie came out 8 years ago. Are we going to special?
What year is it?
A decade ago. So we just consistently push the Secret Life of Walter Mitty. We just tweeted it again like 10 minutes ago. We said new poster.
That's really funny.
We did hashtag South by Southwest too. And people were like, are we missing something here? Did this not come out?
That's really funny.
Pushing it into the zeitgeist just endlessly forever. That's.
Yeah, I feel like the movie was kind of unfairly treated at the time. I think, you know, it came out in like Oscar season with, along with all those kinds of movies. I love that movie. And I'm part of the reason I'm so happy about the reaction that Severance is getting is that Ben's getting his due as a filmmaker. Cause he's one of our great filmmakers. And I think it's great to see people recognizing that.
Cause that movie too, like it just looked, first of all, soundtrack fantastic beyond
For sure.
But also the look of that movie has some of the more just like gorgeous shots of just like landscape.
Totally. Yeah. It's really good movie.
So no, we throw it out there.
That's
once
really
a year.
Funny. That is really funny.
We're getting it back in the word cloud.
People think someone's gonna show up at South by Southwest thinking you're gonna be there this weekend premiere.
Yeah, where's the Walter Mitty screening? Which way to the Walter Mitty screening? The premiere.
We're gonna do a little inside the actor studio here now.
Great.
This is very important to me. This is you delivered what I think is the funniest. I guess funniest sequence of lines I've ever seen in a movie. Now I'm a very dry humor person. Obviously it's very subjective comedy, but I think the dinner scene in Step Brothers is, I think you put forth the only best way I can describe it is a comedic tour de force.
Huh,
and so in the best James Lipton question possible, like, can you take us into your mind in that scene? How much of that was ad-libbed, specifically the Daughtry, Probst, Bobby Flay part? And then the line delivery of guilty as charged with the stories is my favorite. And I'm not just saying it because we're talking to you. I say it all the time. It's my favorite delivery of any comedic line. What's the breakdown of like how that scene came to be?
You know, I was in over my head shooting that movie. I had not really done a lot of comedy. And those guys are the very best. Obviously they're the funniest and they improvise a ton. And I was figuring it out as we went. It was like learning to do the long jump at the Olympics, like with the stadium full of people and the cameras and lights and all of that. It was terrifying. And I wasn't great. But I felt like by the time we shot the dinner scene, I had started getting the hang of it. I remember John C. Riley and I started going back and forth about something. And I was like, okay, I think I've kind of figured this out now, at least a little bit. I still wasn't obviously on the level of those guys. But yeah, it was super fun. And, you know, we shot that scene. It was a few days, I think, we were doing that because everyone gets going on a run. And the way, you know, McKay and those guys shoot is they just kind of let it go and just keep, I mean, we shot a million feet of film by the time we're like halfway through the the movie, and it was just so, it was just the best. It was so much fun. And the name dropping, some of them were in the script. In fact, my audition, I remember in my audition, Mark Cuban was one of the names I dropped. And in the audition, I said, the Cubes, I called them the Cubes. And I feel like that might be part of what won me the role. Cause I remember McKay thinking that was funny. It's so funny, bragging about coming up with the Cubes is ridiculous. I think I threw in Jeff Probst and Chris Daughtry, because I'm a huge Survivor fan. And now because I did that, I've now over the years gotten to know Chris Daughtry, and he's a lovely, lovely guy. So yeah, I think, you know, it was kind of a mixture of some of those names were in there, and then I threw in a few, and we did it so many times. I mean, who knows how many names, we were throwing in there, and, you know, McKay would yell different names out to, you know, it was all, so whatever ended up in the movie is whatever we did on that particular take.
It's because you said it that makes sense, but it truly is like you can just see those guys fishing.
Oh yeah, like hanging out on a boat together without shirts on.
Yep, it just seems to work out that way. It was a very, very influential movie for us growing up, specifically like people, me and Jeff's like age range. And I think it's one where like you'd go to school and everyone would just quote it. Like you just go there and you'd quote like line after line after line as fast as you can with no original thought whatsoever. And just people would die laughing at Step Brothers quotes. Yeah. It was there a movie like that, like a comedy for like that for you growing up where like that was your go-to quotable thing?
Oh yeah. You know, I grew up in the 80s, so it was Blues Brothers, Caddyshack, Three Amigos. It was all those movies. The Jerk was a huge one.
Mm. The cans. He hates the cans.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. All that stuff. And so, yeah. So Step Brothers, the fact that you know, kids grow up quoting it is just the greatest. Because I grew up with that movie, I would be doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. It's just, and that's, I think those are the two biggest movies for at least I think for probably both of us, Jeff. That and Borat were the two movies where you just quote it nonstop. It's totally. You'd say My Wife, and then you'd say like worldwide, like you do all of it.
That's right.
All right. We're going to hit you with something we've been doing called a six pack. So it's just a six pack of questions, rapid fire questions.
Sure.
Give it. And we actually our third interview today, and we've had some very interesting answers for all of these. So I'm very intrigued where we're going to go.
Else did you interview today?
Randall Park early in the morning, and then we had Rhys Darby just before in person.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. So your very first question, can you run a comb through your hair?
Sure. Yeah, I can run a comb through my hair.
It just seems really thick. It seems like it would be hard.
We have some hair similarities.
Yeah. You know, my hair is actually pretty fine. I had to, this is a lot of product to make it like that, but like if it's clean, it just falls down and I look like a beetle.
Damn. See, now I'm thinking of that. I'm thinking of Dewey Cox, but now you in one of those beetle roles. Cause that was another, oh my gosh.
Oh, I love that movie. It's so good.
So funny. Yeah. Okay. Next question. You can press a button and instantly get a main starring role in The Mandalorian, or you can press a button where you can get the green light to do any project you want with an infinite budget. Which one do you press?
Oh man, that is a tough call. That is a tough call. Cause Mandalorian is incredible. I'm assuming you guys love.
Oh yeah.
Mandalorian. I mean, holy shit. That show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Could I have two buttons? No, I have to choose one.
You have to pick one.
I think I would choose the second one because Mandalorian's already perfect. I would just screw it up.
See, everyone's picked this, and I think it's for the, like, what did we do with this? Jake Johnson the other day, he said the same exact thing. So next question. This one's very difficult. I'm very curious how you answer it. It is, what does Christopher Walken smell like?
Heaven. Pure heaven. I mean, like there's no other way to describe it.
We ask that question. Typically, we ask that question about Wes Anderson. That's usually like if someone's worked with Wes Anderson, that was a quick answer. The Wes Anderson question, I'm not convinced when they leave set in a Wes Anderson movie, they're required to jot down what they think he smells like, because people have like a glossary, just the longest poetic description of Wes Anderson. Mm-hmm. It's just unbelievable.
Of his smell?
His scent, yeah.
Oh, wow. I bet he uses some really cool like French cologne that you can, that's, you know, small batch.
Yes.
Small batch, yet was made like in the mid-60s.
Yes, exactly. Next question. You can only save one of these movies and the rest of them get erased from history forever, never existed. Raiders, Defending Your Life, The King of Comedy, Goodfellas, Midnight Run, Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
I mean, these are my favorite movies. Those are my favorite movies.
I know. I picked it from a list of your favorite movies. You
can't fucking do this to me. I mean, Jesus Christ, what am I supposed to do here? Erased from history, like I've never seen them even.
They never existed.
Ugh. I mean, I have to choose Raiders of the Lost Ark. I just have to. Because that was... that's the only choice, even though it would be a much worse world without those other movies. That's a tough one.
Agreed. Here, next question. What is a role you auditioned for, really wanted, but didn't get? Which, and this is funny we're asking you this, because when we asked Jake Johnson this, he said he really, really wanted the role of Andy Dwyer, and he auditioned for it a lot, but didn't end up getting it on Parks and Rec, obviously, show you.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that. The role I auditioned for and didn't get, I mean, so many, hundreds. I auditioned thousands of times. I auditioned for Scream, Scream 2, I Know What You Did Last Summer, all those movies back in the like mid 90s, late 90s. I auditioned for all of them and never got any of them. And now I'm glad I didn't, because I would have sucked and I would have gotten famous and not known what to do with it, or would have made some dumb movie and just squandered whatever I got out of it. I know I would have. I wouldn't have been able to parlay it into a career. I just didn't know what I was doing. You know, in retrospect, I think they made the right choice, because I would have sucked. But also, I'm glad just personally it didn't happen for me back then. So that's not answering your question, though. You know what? I came close on, you know, the show 6 Feet Under from like 20. Yeah, I came close on that. And that was a real like heartbreaker. Michael C. Hall, again, the correct choice, got the role. But at the time, that was like devastating. But again, he was great. I can't even imagine anyone else playing that role. But at the time, it was tough.
And I'm actually thinking now, if you had the role in Scream, that you would have taken somehow partially the Matthew Lillard flight path and ended up playing Shaggy in Scooby-Doo. But we'll never know.
I was auditioning for the Skeet Ulrich part.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
All right. Now it's time for the hardest question, the last question. We've had people say, hey, we're not comfortable answering this. People storm off set. They're very upset about this question. What fast food place has the best burger?
McDonald's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I would say they make everything good except burgers. That would be the one thing I think they need improvement on.
Well, I just feel like their burgers taste like they were made in a lab to please all the different pleasure centers in your mouth. And that's what I like about it, is it feels like I'm eating like a flavor wafer, and it all just satisfies. I haven't had a McDonald's hamburger in probably 10 years, but I remember what is the best. Is it Wendy's? Is that what it is?
It's such a hot debate.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a Texas guy, so I like Whataburger, but I know if people, you know, they go in and out, they go regional. It's
Is in and out
Oh yeah.
Is yeah, that I, a, yeah. A, oh, well then I would choose Five Guys.
Smart. Okay.
That seems like the most popular. I will say, I think that's the most popular.
Shake Shack. I love Shake Shack.
Those two.
Yeah. Okay. Here's what I'll do. Shake Shack for a burger, Five Guys for fries.
That's great. Yeah. The extra fries too. They put in that bag, that little bit of grease on it.
Yeah. And they give you the fries in the soda cup and they're giant and filled with grease. They're perfect.
Mm-hmm. There is nothing more recognizable that has no character or quality to it than a bag from Five Guys and just the grease, like the grease stain on the Five Guys bag. It's the most recognizable, like simple thing. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So wait, Whataburger is your choice?
That's mine as a Texas guy. Yeah.
I think I would actually pick Burger King. I know it sounds crazy, but I think that do that right. I think I like the Whopper a ton.
Ken, Jack, and I like Burger King, and people scoff at us.
They shit on us for liking Burger King.
I haven't had Burger King 20 years or so. You know what I want to do is go get a quarter pounder with cheese just to taste it to see.
See, what it, I wouldn't pick McDonald's, like. But I had it like 5 or 6 months ago. I had a quarter pounder. I was like, wow, this is decent. This is still pretty decent. It's
pretty good, right? Because they made it in a fucking lab.
And you get something Mark from Severance would eat in his workday.
Oh, totally. 100%.
People say, like, you know what they put on that to make that taste good? I said, yeah, more of it. I get like, yeah. Like it's
flavor crystals. Who knows?
Exactly.
Thank you so much. Severance, Apple TV Plus, a couple more episodes left of releasing. Check them out on Fridays. This was fantastic. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, man. Have a good one.
Take it easy.
All right. Thanks to Adam Scott. Let's do a draft. Download, make sure to download, subscribe to the Dog Walk podcast. Big time draft boys for you guys in Chicago. I think everyone knows that by now.
Very complicated draft coming up on Monday. I can't wait to do that graphic, Eddie. It was going to be a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. I sent you a lot of pictures. So
I'm trying to weasel my way into a draft when I visit Chicago in 2 weeks.
You'll get in.
I think I really want to do a fast food type draft, but we're doing a food draft today. And we're going to do a randomizer to get the list here. This is a pretty big one. Cause I feel like there's some keys off the top and then it kind of goes off after. I don't know. Maybe if you're a big candy person, this is going to be an easy list. So we'll do Eddie, Chris, Ken, Jack, Jeff. We're going to randomize the list. Eddie, myself, Ken, Jack, and then Chris. Eddie, you have first pick here.
I'm going to shock you guys.
So if you take soda, you take all soda.
I'm going to shock you guys.
What's your first pick? Movie theater concession draft.
And I'm going to take. I think I'm going to take popcorn, Jeff.
Ooh, that's the generational talent, right?
Yes, this is one of those drafts here where we did a ballpark concessions one with Big Cat once. And I got number one pick and I picked beer, and it was just, that was just an uphill battle for everybody else after that. It's well, you have one thing that's so far above, it's tough.
But that's what I'll say is, like, at least with a ballpark, like there's another food food bev associated with it. Like there's beer and there's hot dogs, right? But with the movie theaters, you only associate it with popcorn. Like that's the number one overall thing. So that's why it has to be number one. You couldn't pick anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal. That really does. Yeah, it's, there was no hope there. Whoever got number one got popcorn.
Yeah.
Was anyone not going to take popcorn if they got number one?
I absolutely was taking it first.
You have to. Yeah.
I'm going to go peanut M&Ms. Nothing like, this is one of those drafts where number three is a better pick than number two. Because number two, you have like the stink of like, I mean, there's a bunch of candy I like. I think if we went to the movies right now and Eddie got popcorn and they ran out of popcorn, peanut M&Ms would be the easy one because he got the savory. He got this. I mean, it's a little bit of the saltiness of the peanut. You got the good amount of chocolate. So I'll go peanut M&Ms. Ken, Jack, next pick, movie theater concessions.
Give me that large ass soda. That's the 1-2 punch with the popcorn. You eat the popcorn. That salty ass popcorn makes you thirsty shit. You down a 500,000 calorie Coke to wash it down. That's just the way it rolls. And like, man, the experience, and this is like and most movie theaters have the combination, right? It's like a popcorn and a soda, like that's the deal or whatever. The usage or introduction of the Coke Zero or Coke Remix or Coke Freestyle machine into AMC, amazing because the Coke Freestyle machine is one of the greatest pinnacles of technology ever created. And yeah. There's nothing like just sitting there with your like 82 ounce Coke, just sitting there filling it up, like ripping it full with like Coke Zero and only a dash of ice because they can't rip you off that way. And I just, there's something I love about that. And getting the refills on those bad boys too, and then having to piss your brains out within the first like 30 minutes of the movie. Love it.
The polarizing take, Ken Jack.
To take all sodas?
Oh no, about the Freestyle. Soda, great pick. But
you don't like the Coke Freestyle machine?
Sometimes it's always out of stuff, which is a problem.
It is frequently out.
Yes. And then sometimes you just get the fucking lime residue in there. And it's like, I don't want that, you know?
You gotta do a pre-shot. You gotta get some of the previous. It's like, you know, when you do the water tab on a fountain soda machine,
it's getting the shit out of a mustard before like the vinegar shit out of the mustard or ketchup before you spray it in. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You ever used a canned cheese that, you know, from like Goofy movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. The top is always hard. You got to get a little bit out. All right. I got
a little bit crusty. Yeah.
But have you ever seen a Freestyle machine open? It's a labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
It looks tough. I like a traditional straight up Coke, Diet Coke. They're just down the line. Like, that's what I like. But the Freestyle has been good. I think it's a very different taste than just like the down the line one. I think it's got a little different flavor going on.
If they can make the Coke Freestyle machine make 500,000 different flavors, how do they not get like that Theranos box to work? Like, it just seems true. Like it should have happened. Maybe they get Coke on the line. They should make blood testing machines.
If Elizabeth Holmes would have just asked Coca-Cola, yeah, she might have been able to make the Edison. Chris, back-to-back picks.
Yeah, I this is probably going to be a candy-heavy draft, I would guess, at this point with a lot of the top ones off the board. And for my first pick, I was trying to think, what's the candy that is most likely to be bought exclusively at the movies? And I went Sour Patch Kids. For my number one pick. Because I think like a person casually will go to a gas station or go to a convenience store and get M&Ms or Skittles. I don't see like a kid walking down the street just tossing back Sour Patch Kids. That's a movie exclusive thing for me for the most part.
I would disagree only to say that I think that Snow Caps would be the only other one there that's like exclusively movie. Like, I don't think I've ever even seen a Snow Cap outside of a movie theater in my life, like for sale.
Well, thank you, because my second pick was Snow Caps.
There you go.
I love Snow Caps. Yeah. That's a good pick.
Yeah, so I went candy heavy right off the board with those two. Yeah, and you just made my explanation perfectly. So those are my top two.
Is it a red flag if at the end of eating a Snow Caps box, you dump all like the nonpareil little dots into your mouth, or do you just throw it away?
I don't think it's a red flag, no.
Because, you know, those always fall off. At the bottom, it's always... Just the little dots, the little circles. They're non-pearls, right? Yeah. That's what they're called.
Yeah.
But the actual thing itself.
Gotta eat those.
What are the little things called?
I think you had it.
Yeah, that's what they are. Non-pearls. Yeah. They're sprinkles. They're at the bottom. I love Snow Caps. I love Snow Caps in popcorn. I'm an M&M's and Snow Caps guy in popcorn. Like, that's the ultimate combo for me. Ken Jack, you pick fountain soda. You going candy?
I want to pick a concept versus a specific thing. And I'm open to it being vetoed. I want to pick anything smuggled in to the theater because
that's fine.
It's cheaper and tastes better than whatever you get at the actual movie theater concession stand. And we've smuggled some weird shit into the theater, like me and Jeff have anyway. Like, we smuggled in, was it that ape cereal thing? We smuggled in, like, I think of a rotisserie chicken at one point. Like, anything you smuggle in is just tastes better. And it makes you feel like you're like a fucking, like a secret agent or something, being able to get past some like 18-year-old bouncer or usher or whatever with like, just like a bag full of M&Ms in your pocket. So I got to pick the contraband.
Has anybody ever been caught? Has anybody ever been stopped at the door?
We straight up told somebody you're bringing beer in once. They didn't care. But New York really doesn't care.
Yeah. What, did you get stopped before, Eddie?
No, never. That's why I'm just curious. Like, is it... Like, I don't even think they give a shit.
Yeah. I've been with somebody who did a whole Boston Market meal one time. our coworker, Large, will often bring in like a really fancy baguette and like meats and like prosciutto and like all that type of stuff. I'll make like a really like luxurious sandwich. Yeah, smuggled in food, that covers a lot of bases. I feel like sandwich is probably like the go-to.
Do you know it's outside of the Lincoln Center Theater, which you both go to a lot. There's like that pizza truck.
Yeah, there's the Neapolitan Express pizza truck in New York. It sits outside.
And the people would just bring that into the theater almost every time I'm there. It's just a
pizza. They bring in small meat, which is like the pizza at AMC is like it's just flatbread. It's not like
you're not getting like better.
I'm gonna go with Icy's. I love Icy's. Icy's for me though, I got a tough bladder. I pee a lot in movies. Icy's run through me significantly quicker than soda. I don't know what it is. I get I'm a Coke Icy guy though, but I'm taking the blanket Icy, but I'm a Coke Icy guy.
Are you slurping during big parts of the movie, Jeff? Don't be slurping.
But it's the, once you get down to where it's not an Icy anymore, I'm out.
Okay. I kind of like when she's slurping during the movie. I mean, you sit in the back, no one notices.
I don't like the, like when the Icy's down to just like the syrup, it actually just gives me a stomach ache. So like once the ice part of the Icy's gone, I'm out. Like the cup is now trash.
Okay. I could probably eat like an unflavored Icy, like literally just eating a cup full of snow. And I'd be like, oh, this rocks. Like I wouldn't.
Yeah, that would be very good. What's the clip rate on an Icy machine not being ready? It's got to be like 35-40%.
Very high. Least. Yeah. The technology is not there for those yet.
No. They've never perfected the Icy. Eddie, back-to-back picks. You have the big one, popcorn, so you're in good shape.
And I mean, I'm stunned this is still here. But I guess I just like this more than everybody else. But forever, it was always just, you know, no thoughts. Popcorn is the main thing that you're getting behind there that's not a candy product. But now when I go, it's a cage match if I'm getting popcorn or pretzel bites.
I didn't think you'd go double savory. I
have to. You put me in a box. I had no choice, Jeff. The pretzel bite. Do you guys like the AMC pretzel bites? I think they're awesome.
Pretty good, yeah.
I love them. I honestly just picked Icy, assuming I would still get pretzel bites on the way back. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, hey,
I think. You just drafted two centers back to back.
It can work. It can work.
Okay.
Burrs, I'll coach him up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Elijah Wan could have played next to Ewing in some capacity, right? It would have worked. Someone would have made it work.
My draft war room is shocked right now, though. They're like, what the fuck? They already penciled so much, in.
There's so much candy after this. It's like, I'm going to have a run on candy. I couldn't do it. Pretzel bites. I think they're really good, but I hate when you caught up the ledge and that pisses me off like nothing ever.
That's not pretzel bites. That's just the consistency is insanely different.
Yes, it is. It is. And the cheese they have is good too. All right. So I'm going to go candy then, I guess. I'm going to go Raisinets. It's a classic. It's a classic. It really is. Like, a movie with Raisinets. I'm a Raisinets guy. I know some people don't like them, but I like
hate them. Hate Raisinets.
Do you?
Like, I never. Love raisins. Sorry, I've like never them. Looked at Raisinets.
I love raisins. So I'm a big fan of Raisinets. I'm a fan of like chocolate covered almost anything. Like, that's not, you wouldn't expect to be good. Like, chocolate covered pretzels, you should expect to be good. But I love chocolate covered pretzels. Like, or yogurt raisins too. Yogurt raisins rock. They're so good.
It's also, I don't know if you found a difference between the AMC carries the Sun-Made ones now instead of the Raisinets. I feel like that's you got to negotiate. You got to get the Raisinets in there. That's just it's a non-starter, but
yeah.
Sun. What's the quality drop off from the Sun-Made chocolate covered raisins?
They're still good. Don't get me wrong, but I like, you know, I guess I'm being a brand snob. It's just something about that yellow box and that name is just.
I feel like Raisinets, the focus is more on the chocolate, where Sun-Made, the focus is more on the raisin.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That would add up for me. I'm going Bunch of Crunch. Love Bunch of Crunch. I think Bunch of Crunch is up there with... So if I had gotten popcorn, I would not have taken peanut M&Ms. I'll go Bunch of Crunch before I go peanut M&Ms. I don't typically mix, and I actually really don't get candy much in the theater anyway, but Bunch of Crunch is my favorite. Doesn't really melt a lot. You got to make sure you're not getting a melty candy. Loud box, but they got like the little pieces, different textures. I love it. I think Buncha Crunch is which is great because I don't like Crunch Bars. Like Crunch Bars is nothing to me, mm-hmm. but Buncha Crunch I think is fantastic. Ken Jack, third round.
I'm going to go with a company of candy that has sent us stuff before, Cookie Dough Bites. Cookie Dough Bites, I'm a big fan of them. And that's yeah. another food very similar to, what do you call it, Snow Caps, where like I exclusively eat Cookie Dough Bites in the theater and the one time that they sent us a bunch of stuff or a bunch of candy for free. So like I think that's one that's like very associated for me with a movie theater. And when I was a kid, I would crush those. And I feel like they managed to get the taste of cookie dough pretty well for something that's like pretty much not cookie dough. So I appreciate those and I need a candy. So may as well take them.
They have like a weird new like peanut butter one.
Mm, interesting. Oh,
really? Like a peanut butter chocolate dough bites. Chris, back to back picks.
Yeah, I'm going Twizzlers. I feel like solid movie theater snack. I waited for it because unlike Sour Patch Kids, I like people eat Twizzlers all the time. Like we have some in our cabinet right now. So I'm sticking with it though, because I think it's just vintage easy. Like, you know, it's a classic movie theater snack. My next one is my wild card pick because I think, and the reason I say that is because I think you could go to the movie theater and have a terrible time with these or a surprisingly good one. And that's nachos. Like, I think like if you want to roll the dice with movie theater nachos, you could get something that's totally going to blow you away, and you could get something that's probably going to ruin your day and ruin your appetite for a while. So that's my wild card.
There are sometimes those nacho chips in movie theaters are the saltiest things in the world.
Right. Yep.
Like the it cuts through terrible. The cheese almost.
You either get like cafeteria high school quality stuff, or you're going to get like pretty fucking good nachos. Like there's no in between there. There's no like just okay theater nachos. All right, so I'm up, right?
Yeah, that's a solid nacho thing is a solid pick. You're right. It's risky. It's a gamble.
Yeah.
Good value there. Good value.
Thank you.
Back around.
I'll go with one that this has got the name brand value to it. I'll just go regular M&Ms, standard chocolate M&Ms. Peanut definitely better. But regular M&Ms I think are superior in that like in this very specific way. I think that they mix with popcorn better than peanut M&Ms. Peanut M&Ms give you the crunch, which is nice, but I do like having just like that melty chocolate regular M&M in a good old bite up of popcorn. And I recently found out like they sell this at like my local corner store. Like it's a what do you call it, like a pre-made cluster popcorn thing where it's like candy popcorn, but they like include the M&Ms like basically melted and grafted onto the popcorn. Absolutely delicious. Love them.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's like a pop crunch type thing. They call it. It's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Honey Bunches of Oats, except nothing like that at all.
Let's swap both ingredients. I'm going to go. I almost want Bavarian Legend. But the Bavarian Legend is just so absurd.
And it doesn't and actually get taste it one place. That good.
Yeah, it's just too dense. Chicken tenders. AMC's new tenders are awesome. They've got great tenders, and they don't really have them anymore because of like supply chain stuff. You can't find them, but they're going to be back soon. I love AMC's chicken tenders. So I'll go chicken. That's my savory pick. I got a candy pick dialed up for round five. I'll be real upset if you take it, Eddie. I don't think you're going to, though.
Well, all right. It's going to be interesting because I got one if you know, you know. And I think these are some of the best gummy
Oh shit, you might be taking it.
Yeah, I think these are awesome. I think these are outstanding, actually. And like, do people sleep on it? Like, they're not too mainstream yet, in my opinion. The Sweet Tart Ropes.
Wow, you did. You picked it. That's crazy.
Jeff, they're unbelievable.
Why did I see that's bad drafting on my part? I should have known you weren't gonna I should have waited. You weren't gonna pick 10. You spooked me because you already picked two savory. I'm like, what if he takes tenders? What do you know what the original name was? They rebranded.
What was it before? I should know Kazoozle. This would be a dozen question possibly.
Cause it's been a dozen question. They're called Kazoozles.
Oh, okay. That sounds familiar, but they're outstanding, Jeff. Like I almost feel bad.
I thought it'd be a shoo-in to get them in the last round.
And they're very different, but I almost feel bad that Chris took Twizzlers. That's like old, like, you know, that's like,
yeah, I'm surprised it dropped.
Yeah. You know, they're really good. They're really good. Like
it used to be Wonka. It was Wonka Kazoozles. But then they rebranded the Sweet Tart Ropes. I think they're so good. It's such a bizarre taste, but I love them.
Yeah, it really is awesome. Okay, so Sweetheart wrote, I got one more.
Yeah, your last one.
It's tough. I got something from every area. I guess I'll go. I need a little bit because I know Raisinets are kind of polarizing, so I need a little bit more chocolate game here. So I'll take Reese's Pieces.
Mm. Good pick.
Well, there's no chocolate in Reese's Pieces, so you played yourself on that one.
Yeah. Well, there's
no, there's no, there no, is. No. It's
candy there's coating none. Over peanut butter.
Yeah, there's no, there's
no, chocolate. No, there's not.
I will say when you bite one, you think like, yeah, it's good chocolate. Like, well,
I guess they placeboed me for 31 years.
That's like one of the longest things that I've talked about on this podcast is I mention it every now and then, but whenever we talk candy, Reese's Pieces have zero chocolate in them. Zero.
I guess we're just going to have to go to the factory, Jeff, and we're going to have to find out.
Zero. I wasn't going to pick them though. I like Reese's Pieces still though.
Yeah, and I feel like I do think peanut M&Ms or peanut butter M&Ms are better, but I don't think you see them in movies that much yet, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think you see them very often, peanut butter M&Ms.
Yeah, so in the sake of what you see there, I went with this.
Have you ever been in with anyone who gets the Parm crisps? Parm crisps or like
those things are too salty for me. The keto version, yeah.
Yeah,
you know like the snap peas? AMC sells like the snap pea wafers too.
Those rock though. Those are so good. I love those things.
If I'm eating those in a movie, I probably shouldn't be at the movie. I don't know. I'm going Sour Patch Watermelon.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's a good one.
Which I'm okay to have. I'm bummed out I didn't get Sweet Tart Ropes. We printed the jersey already for Sweet Tart Ropes. It's a shame. Sour Patch. I actually prefer Sour Patch Watermelon over Sour Patch. I like both. I like the idea in a movie not being surprised by the taste of the candy. It's a consistent flavor there. I would have got Junior Mints. I love too, but I know mint and chocolate people hate so much that I do love Junior Mints, but nothing is worse than when a box of Junior Mints is maybe a little melted together and they're not coming out piece by piece. They're like a mint cluster. Ruins it. Ken Jack, last pick.
So I feel like I have to pick the Bavarian Legend just for reputation value. I also would very much like to take Twizzler Bites, so I'm kind of like in between on there, which I think I'd be within rights to take because you have just regular Twizzlers, right, Chris?
I do, yeah.
And I think I like Twizzler Bites more than regular Twizzlers, and there's no explanation like around it. Like, you just take bites of Twizzlers anyway. Like, there's not a huge difference, but there's something I like about having multiple little, like just throwing in a handful of Twizzler Bites. But I think I need to take the Bavarian Legend just for reputation's sake. So yes. I'll pick it. I'll pick the big old BL.
Dog shit pick, but I respect it.
I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice.
This is round five. This is like you have a son in the league coming into the league. You're the GM. You got to take your kid. Like, you just can't. Yeah, you have to.
This is my Calipari kid or whatever his name was.
By the way, that is low key. My favorite part of the MLB draft is like the round where people just take all their like their friends' kids.
Yeah.
Like GMs just take like kids and like nephews. There's a three round like area towards the end of the draft where it's like these kids are never making the league, but they're related to people who've played for like these GMs or played with them back in the day. And they just, it's a run on famous names.
No, Tigers
recently, you can say kids have been very successful in baseball. So,
yeah, the Tigers did it back to back years. They got Castellanos' brother and then they got Verlander's brother, I think, next draft.
I love that. Like the MLB draft, like 90 rounds. It's just like, all right, well, we got to use the picks. We'll take this.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Irrelevant, what's the last pick here?
I'm going back and forth between. Okay, I almost wanted to go beer, which is a thing now, not at every movie theater, but does
it? Cinemark does it, which. AMC, does AMC do it?
Yeah.
They have like the cantinas. Yeah. Like there's one in the 34th Street one.
Yeah. But Cinemark here in Cedar Park or right outside of Austin, they have like a Corona freeze machine.
Yeah. You know, I am going to go beer then. Just think because I've already got too much candy as it is. I feel like in mine, I was going to go Milk Duds, which to me is just like cream of the crop candy. But I think that especially if you're seeing a really terrible movie, to like be a few beers in and have fun with it adds to the experience. So I'm going to go just generic, no kind in particular, no brand in particular, just regular beer for my last pick.
I think some theaters sell that small Copa di Vino. It's the small premium wine that you like rip the top off of.
Yeah.
It's a Shark Tank product. And I think someone related was convicted of like defrauding investors.
Really?
Yeah. Copa di Vino. I've seen that before. I mean, I think that guy like turned down a deal and then like made enemies with Mr. Wonderful and Shark Tank, like kind of jokingly, and then came back with like big sales. And anyway, you can get that at theaters. All right. Pretty solid. I'd say pretty solid draft. Eddie really killed me this draft. I couldn't, of all things for you to pick, I didn't know you were a Sweet Tart Ropes guy, Kazoozles guy.
They're great, man. They're like people need to be. I mean, do you agree with me though? Like they need more press, like they need more mainstream.
They've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
I would agree. Also,
I'm also happy that no one took Starburst because fuck unwrapping every single one of those.
I say it all the time. When I saw the movie Lincoln in State College, Pennsylvania movie theater, the person in front of me was unwrapping individual Lifesaver wintergreen mints the entire movie.
Oh, no.
3 hours, eating them like they were candy. Her breath, her mouth must have hurt from how much mint was in her mouth.
Oh.
Top three most annoying person you get at a movie theater, the person who can't unwrap shit properly.
It's never a good idea to do it slowly. Just rip it. Just rip the Band-Aid, rip the bag, get it open, done. The smart move is before you go in, you rip the bag, you dump it back into the box, and then you have it ready to go. If you're a courteous person, but also like, I don't even do that. So that's why like the toughest are the ones where you got to open the box, then the bag. Like that's just, I get why they do it, but it's just, it creates all sorts of chaos.
It's a bit much.
That's it. Slew of movies out next weekend, so we'll figure that out as we go. So I wouldn't commit to anything yet. We'll talk Sonic. I do want to do Everything Ever All at Once. We got to see how wide that movie's going.
Yeah, it has not come to Lansing yet.
Interesting. So maybe we'll wait on that. But we will talk about it because that is going to be like movie of the year good. Wow. Potential is what it's. I mean, I don't say what it seems like. I saw it. I think it will be. Will it translate for other people? I don't know. We'll see. That's it. Ken, Jack, Chris, Eddie, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.